72 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 71. It's time now for the award-winning wake-up call with your host, Liz Brown. She's up next. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 6 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU. Stay tuned now for the award-winning wake-up call that's up next.
As the new school year begins, AAA reminds motorists to remember the ABCs of auto safety in its Schools Open, Drive Carefully campaign. A great burden is on the motorists to take extra precautions when driving in areas with school-aged children. AAA offers these safety reminders for motorists. Watch for reduced speed limit signs in school zones that become effective when classes are in session. Remember the law about stopping before passing or overtaking a school bus stopped to pick up or discharge children. Watch out for youngsters riding bicycles who may appear suddenly from a blind spot. Help your child map out his or her safest way to school, and remember that traffic hazards near schools multiply when children are dropped off and picked up in family cars. Remember that school traffic controls are operating now that school has restarted, and anticipate the actions of youngsters and be ready for anything by reducing speed in areas where children are present. These reminders are brought to you by AAA.
We all know by now never to drink and drive. We know to buckle up for safety, and we know to protect our children by using proper car seats. But did you know that basic car maintenance is just as important in avoiding serious accidents? Simple steps like changing your oil and brake fluid, keeping your car full of antifreeze and coolant, checking the belts and gaskets, and rotating your tires can keep you and your family and other drivers safer, while keeping your car more fuel efficient, thus protecting the environment. That's why the Car Care Council is urging everyone to take an active interest in routine maintenance. Read your owner's manual, talk to a qualified service technician, and use an online resource. For more information on how to keep your car running safely, visit vehiclemanager.com. Take care of your car. It will save you money, and it will protect you and your family and other drivers. This has been a public service message from the Car Care Council.
Time now for another edition of the Wake Up Call with Liz Brown. Views expressed on this program are not necessarily those of the staff, management, or advertisers of WGNU Radio. This broadcast is a production of Norman Broadcasting Company, Incorporated, and WGNU Radio, and is intended solely for the information and entertainment of our listening audience. Any rebroadcast, transcribing, recording, or other use of this material without the expressed written consent of Norman Broadcasting Company, Incorporated, and WGNU Radio is strictly prohibited. We ask that you govern your calls within the bounds of brevity and good taste. And now, the Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell the brothers, how can this happen? I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell the brothers, how can this happen?
Time for us to use our power. Please do not beg for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Cause I wanna be free. That everything that you do in this country is political. Every move you make is political, and every move that white people or the ruling class makes against black people is political.
You got me. I look like a person that's been through it. I don't look like a star today. I've really been through it. Not only am I'm a resident of New Orleans, I'm a person that really lost
everything I have. Welcome. Welcome to the morning wake-up call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. I've been on vacation for 2 weeks. Did I miss anything? We have so much stuff to talk about. I am just full of all of the things, all of the emotions, all of the pain, all of the amazing revelations that have come to pass in these last 2 weeks. I have said this time and time and time again on this show. I believe that we have to get to the bottom in order for any kind of changes to take place in this country. And trust me, we are, strap yourself in, because we are on a bullet train ride to the bottom. Everything that there is to say accurately about what the United States of America is about has been revealed through the eye of a storm. Everything that this nation is about, Mother Nature has made it very clear, has given us an opportunity, an inescapable opportunity. I don't even know if you can call it an opportunity when it's inescapable. If you got to do it, it's not really an opportunity, is it? Mother Nature has demonstrated, has provided an opportunity to show the world once again what America is all about. Wasn't enough with the Iraq War. The world got to speculate. The world got to articulate. The world got to see what this administration is about through the Iraqi War. But many Americans were refusing to see it like that. They wanted to holler, it's politics. They wanted to make an unprovoked, preemptive strike on a sovereign nation into an issue of Democrat versus Republican. Tens of thousands of dead Iraqi people later. Tens of thousands of lies that were spoken to get them dead. Later, people, and thousands of American lives, or tens of thousands of American lives, dead or alive, later, people are still trying to play that take that partisan football athletic posturing. It's our team against your team, and it's not. The reality is not what we see. It's just a game of our team, the Democrats against your team, the Republicans. Well, how you like us now? After seeing how the same administration responded to dead and dying Americans, how you like us now? How you like him now? How do you like him now? there's an article entitled U.S. Must Examine Its Soul. Now, the author defined New Orleans as the city of the dead and the dead end. Ghosts with dirty faces stagger about in bare feet, and floating, rolling cadavers snag on the upturned roots of pecan trees. Urban survivalists, some of them mentally deranged, but a great many more disoriented and dehydrated after a fortnight of living primitively, lock themselves behind chain-secured doors, unresponsive to and hiding from the forces of law that would drag them from their home. A woman called Carolyn stands shaking, knuckle-biting, fearful on the opposite side of the veranda screen, distrustful of the police, making inquiries about an abandoned vehicle on the curb, convinced that they are arrived to forcibly remove her from her premises. It wasn't just Katrina that terrorized the people of New Orleans. It's been the aftermath of Katrina, a storm. If it had just been the storm, it would have been one thing. But it wasn't just the storm. I want to make it clear, and forgive me if you've heard some of this, but I ain't letting it go. I ain't letting it go. I want to go through the timeline, if you don't mind. I want to go through the timeline to underscore the magnitude of the foulness and the racism and the classism that this storm Katrina has revealed to some. Friday, August 26th. Governor Blanco declares a state of emergency in Louisiana. One would think that FEMA would be notified by that simple statement, that he would have brought himself, his dumb behind, to Louisiana after that. Friday, August 26th, the Gulf Coast states request troop assistance from the Pentagon. Friday, August 26th. We're talking Friday, August 26th. At a 9-1 press conference, General Honoré said the Gulf states began the process of requesting additional forces on Friday, August 26th. They started asking for troops on August 26th. On Saturday, August 27th, Governor Hallie Barbour declares a state of an emergency in Mississippi. Now, tell me that you believe for one New York second that Hallie Barbour, the most Republican of Republicans, the one of the dirtiest Republicans, but he certainly has, he can pick up the phone while he's on his way to the bathroom and put in a call to George Bush, and George Bush will pick it up. So tell me that Hallie Barbour didn't call somebody in Washington, D.C. when he has declared his state an emergency on Saturday, August 27th. For the White House, for anybody there to say they didn't know is a lie, and a damnable one at that. That's Saturday, August 27th. On Saturday, August 27th, Governor Blanco asked Bush to declare federal state of emergency in Louisiana. She goes to Bush, declare it. And you know what? I don't know if y'all have seen the map, but it's definitely a red state, blue state thing going on in the state of Louisiana. When George W. Bush issued a pre-Katrina declaration of emergency, you can go to the FEMA website for this, if it's still up. There were only certain numbers of parishes. Now, remember, the governor has asked for an entire state to be declared an emergency, but he only issued a handful of parishes in the state of an emergency. So we go to Sunday, August 28th. Now remember, let me back up. On August 27th, when federal emergency declared DHS and FEMA given full authority to respond to Katrina, they were given full authority on Saturday, August 27th. And specifically, what FEMA was given was the authorized to identify, mobilize, provide at its discretion equipment and resources necessary to alleviate the impacts of the emergency. Mobilize, provide at its discretion. This is on Saturday, August 27th. Sunday, August 28th, 2 a.m., Katrina upgraded to a hurricane category 4. 7 a.m., Katrina upgraded to a category 5. This is Sunday. On Sunday morning, the Louisiana newspaper signals that the levees may give. Quote, forecasters fear levees won't hold Katrina. This is Sunday, August 28th. 9:30 on Sunday, August 28th. Mayor Nagin issues the first ever mandatory evacuation of New Orleans. This is on Sunday, August 28th. He says everybody has to get out. On Sunday at 4 p.m. Central Time, National Weather Service issues a special hurricane warning. In the event of a Category 4 or 5 hit, this is the National Weather Service. You think George W. Bush had access to that? The National Weather Service warnings. They said most areas will be uninhabitable for weeks, perhaps longer. At least one half of well-constructed homes will have roof and wall failures. Power outages will last for weeks. Water shortages will make human suffering incredible by modern standards. This is the National Weather Service on Sunday. In the afternoon of Sunday, August 28th, Bush, Brown, and Chernoff are warned of levee failure by National Hurricane Center Director Max Mayfield. That's in the Times-Picayune. That's in the St. Petersburg Times. Late that afternoon on Sunday, reports came of water toppling over the levee. That came from the Times-Picayune. Approximately 30,000 evacuees gather at the Superdome with, and this is the important piece, 36 hours worth of food. This is on Sunday. The hurricane hasn't even landed on land yet. Where's Bush? On vacation. Where's Cheney? Fly fishing. Where's Condoleezza Rice? Shopping. Monday, Katrina lands at 7 a.m. 8 a.m., Mayor Nagin reports that the water is flowing over the levee. In the 9th Ward, we've had one of our pumping stations stop operating and said we will have significant flooding. It's just a matter of how much. That's what he said at 8 a.m. on August 29th. Monday morning, Bush makes his first phone call, and it's a phone call to Secretary Chernoff. One would hope that he would be talking about this levee breaking in a Category 5 storm. No, he calls Chernoff to talk about immigration. Ain't that a blip? And this is all in the White House. This is on the White House website. And then later that morning, as Katrina's a level 4, as water is pouring over the levees, George W. Bush shares a birth cake photo op with Senator John McCain. Birthday cake photo op. And it's not until 10:30 a.m. that Michael Brown finally requests that the DHS dispatch 1,000 employees to the region, but he gives them 2 days to arrive there. Y'all, you know, just pack your stuff, and when you get there, you get there. Later that morning, the levee is breached. The levee is breached at later that morning. What does George Bush do? He stays on vacation. He gets on an airplane and he goes to Arizona, and not just Arizona, but an Arizona resort to talk about Medicaid drug benefits. In other words, he's still politicking. This isn't a national emergency. This is a politicking move. He's trying to shore up support for something that he wants done. He's in an Arizona resort, and I want to quote. I want to give you a quote. I want to give you a quote from George W. Bush. As the water is pouring over the levees, as 30,000 people are in the Superdome with 36 hours worth of food, this is what he said to folks, to white, old white people, older white people, seniors, handpicked seniors, while Rome is burning. He said, "When Laura and I landed, we visited with Reuben and Rita Carroll. They work for the Retired and Senior Volunteer Program, the RSVP program. The reason I bring them up is that the great strength of this country..." Now just imagine this. Water is pouring over the levee. Tens of thousands of New Orleans are fixing to lose everything that they've known all of their lives. They're in a dome, without electricity or water. And George W. Bush looks into the faces of these pampered seniors, Republican seniors, at a resort in Arizona while he's on vacation and Rome is burning. He says, and I quote, "We've got millions of people across our country who volunteer to make someone else's life better." Well, you know what? I wasn't looking for any volunteers. I was just looking for the people that get paid to take care of us, to do their jobs. These are amazing times that we live in. These are amazing times that we live in. We're going to take a break. We're going to take a break. And we're going to listen to Barack Obama on our way out of the break. This is Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. My number here is 454-0400, 1-877-920 WGNU. Stay with me.
Whoever was in charge of the planning was so detached from the realities of inner city life in a place like New Orleans that they couldn't conceive of the notion that somebody couldn't load up their SUV, put $100 worth of gas in there, put some sparkling water, and drive off to a hotel and check in with a credit card.
Good morning, St. Louis. 33 minutes after the hour, 6 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton. We'll look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Blake and Davis Realtors. Northbound 55 between Butler Hill and Loughborough. Everything is on the move. Eastbound 44 between 141 and Barrie. Expect normal traffic in your 6:30 commute. Northbound 270 at 44 in Big Bend. You can expect slow traffic. Westbound 270 between Lilac and Washington Elizabeth. Nothing to report in this hour. Eastbound 70 between T.R. Hughes and 79. Look for very heavy volume already. Eastbound 40 at the last Missouri exit, Broadway. Look for road construction. The exit is closed. You can use the 11th Street exit to get around the work construction zone. Westbound 5570 from 64 on the PSB looks good. Westbound 64, 5570 split. Everything's on the move. Westbound Kingbridge traffic from Laclede's Landing. Nothing to report so far. Northbound Illinois Route 3 before the PSB. Expect normal traffic there. Shodo at Grand, those lights are not working. Arsenal at California, look for an injury accident. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Blake and Davis Realtors. Interested in buying or selling a home? Call Tammy Morris at Blake and Davis Realtors. You'll get a real hometown advantage with their e-advantage, excellence, expertise, and experience, all at Blake and Davis. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Wednesday. Mostly sunny skies today, high in the low 90s this evening, mostly clear with a low around 70. Tuesday, partly cloudy with a high in the low 90s. Tuesday evening, showers are likely with a low around 70. And Wednesday, partly sunny skies, scattered storms with a high in the upper 80s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 72 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 71. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. It's up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the top of the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Right now, the sun is shining, but people are crying. This is Aaron Neville speaking for the American Red Cross. When a hurricane like Katrina passes, it leaves behind massive devastation. This is a country that comes together in times of need. Please help these people put their lives back together. Call 1-800-HELP now or go to redcross.org and click Donate Now. Right now, the sun is shining, but the work has just begun. Brought to you by the American Red Cross, the Ad Council, and this station.
Help victims of Hurricane Katrina and thousands of other disasters across the country each year. Call 1-800-HELP-NOW or visit redcross.org today. Together, we can save a life.
Hello out there, Radio Land. This is Pastor A.A. Boyd, a proud pastor of the Holy Olivet Baptist Church. I come on this radio station every Saturday, the Glory Time broadcast from 7 to 7:30. Will you turn me on? You'll certainly be glad you did. And God bless you.
Why do you listen to WGNU? Hi, I'm Charles Gehr, Program Director of Radio Free St. Louis, and your answer could make you a winner. Tell us why in a postcard or email of 100 words or less. We'll draw one entry each Monday through Friday during September as part of today's Solutions with Dave Lenahan. You could win some cool stuff from your friends at AM 920, and we all win because your comments will help make Radio Free St. Louis even better. Send a postcard to Why Do You Listen, WGNU 265 Union Boulevard, St. Louis, Missouri 63108, or email me at cgeer@wgnu.net. Include Why Do You Listen in your subject line. Drawings begin Thursday, September 1st and Friday, September 30th. One entry per address, one prize per family, please. WGNU employees, sponsors, and affiliates, including immediate families, are not eligible. No substitution of prizes. All decisions are final. Tell us why you listen, and thanks for listening to Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU, and online at WGNU.net.
This is the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown. Don't leave home without it.
Whatever we had, we've been taking it. That's the only way we can survive.
They got the food right here. Let me show you right here. This is where we got the food.
They said only hotel guests on the buses. They weren't going to arrange transportation for anyone else. Hotel guests that had multiple cars loaded up their SUVs with luggage and refused to take other people.
Everybody live here from paycheck to paycheck. We don't have the money to get out of town like they want us to do.
Looter is a person that'll go in the store and come out with a television. I went in Walmart and came out with a pack of pita bread and a six-pack of Fuchu Oh, and I wrote down anything I took to feed my family.
Nobody in charge, the National Guard, the police, there is nobody. Somebody needs to come take charge and put organization and get these people to safety, to get them clothes, the basic things that they need to live from day to day.
Not about
low income. It's not about rich people, poor people. It's about people. Nobody wants to hurt anybody in this city. Nobody wants to hurt these people who have these businesses.
It's totally crazy. We feel totally abandoned by the government.
We need help. And y'all just need me to send somebody to help us.
We have to sleep out here this time of night. Take a look at all of this. Now, what they're going to do if the hurricane come again? All of us going to be flooded. We don't have nowhere to go. Nothing to eat. We just need some help out here. It is so pitiful. Pitiful and shame.
These are our people. This is our country. And this is how our country, our government, this administration treats people. All people wanted was what they had paid for. And the suffering is mind-blowing. The suffering is mind-boggling. The suffering continues today. We're going to be joined in the 7 o'clock hour with members of a family, 40 people in their family that have been displaced from New Orleans. I'm Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. Our number here is 454-0400. 1-877-920-WGNU. We broadcast live on the World Wide Web at www.wgnu.net, lizbrown.com. We're archived daily at whiterosesociety.org. This is a story of class. This is a story of race. This is a story of racism. There was a young man by the name of Kayan West. Kayan West. And I was so proud of this baby. It was almost a surreal moment. It was a surreal moment. And let me just set it up for you before I play the audio for you. This baby was on as I'm sure many of you know, doing a kind of a call for help, and everybody was reading for the script. He was paired with Mike Myers. You remember him from from Saturday Night Live, and from the spoof on all of the James Bond movies. Austin Powers. The two of them are standing there, and the baby Wes, he's standing there. And he has this look on his face like, I'm fixing to say something. Because Mike Myers was reading from a script. And when they came to baby West, he had something to say. And I want you to hear what he had to say.
The shape of the city has changed dramatically, tragically.
This is the voice of Mike Myers.
Irreversibly. There's now over 25 feet of water where there was once city streets and thriving neighborhoods.
Oh. I hate the way they portray us in the media.
Tell
you
it.
See a black family, it says they're looting.
Tell it.
See a white family, it says they're looking for food.
That's right.
And you know it's been 5 days because most of the people are black. And even for me to complain about, I would be a hypocrite because I've tried to turn away from the TV because it's too hard to watch. I've even been shopping before even giving a donation. So now I'm calling my business manager right now to see what is the biggest amount
statement.
I can give. And just to imagine if I was down there, and those are my people down there. So anybody out there that wants to do anything that we can help with the setup, the way America is set up to help the poor, the black people, the less well off as slow as possible. I mean, this is Red Cross is doing everything they can. We already realize a lot of the people that
Mike Myers looks like he's ready to fall through the
right
floor
now, fighting another way, and they've given them permission to go down and shoot us.
Back to the script.
And subtle, but in even many ways more profoundly devastating, is the lasting damage to the survivors' will to rebuild and remain in the area. The destruction of the spirit of the people of southern Louisiana and Mississippi may end up being the most tragic loss of all.
George Bush doesn't care about black people.
Tell it. And that's when they that's when they cut the audio.
In the past few days.
And you hear how they had a delay. They had to they had to send it to somebody else. They had to crossfeed it, send it to somebody else, because Kanye West said George Bush doesn't care about black people, period, dot. George Bush doesn't care about black people, period, dot. And you don't have to wonder why. You don't have to speculate. You don't have to theorize. What you do is you look at what people do. You look at what people say. And you look at where people come from. If you think that George W. Bush cares about black people, I want you to listen to what his mama has to say about those black people. I want you to listen to what his mama has to say about those black people. Because the fact of the matter is that the nut doesn't fall far from the tree. The nut doesn't fall far from the tree. You think George W. Bush cares about black people? How could he with this mess falls out his mama's mouth?
And so many of the people in the arenas here, you know, were underprivileged anyway. This is working very well for them.
Isn't that something? Let them eat cake. She says that people are better off without their city, without their home, living in a tent or in a dome. They're better off. So tell me, explain to me how someone could care about black people when their mama is spitting on them in front of live television. Tell me how that could be. You can't. You cannot. And I'm not just talking about what his mama says. I'm talking about what he has done. He never got off vacation. He spent his entire vacation running from Cindy Sheehan and closing his eyes to black people. How else can you explain that he said, nobody thought the levees was going to break? Disconnected, removed, unconcerned. And if that's not caring, then I don't know what not caring is. My name is Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. And there's more with Laura Bush. There's more with Laura Bush. She is so disconnected. She is so disconnected. Chick don't even know the name that is on the lips of 95% of American citizens out here. She don't even know the name of the hurricane. We're taking a break.
Because of Hurricane Karina, are starting the school this week. And I also want to encourage anybody who is affected by Hurricane Karina to make sure their children.
Good boy, that's so true. Gee, baby, ain't I good to you? Bought you some cashmere.
I know the place to shop for all your appliance needs. Sears, 3425 Union, black-owned and black-operated, Jerome Williams. Sears carries the top six appliance brands, Kenmore, Whirlpool, Maytag, GE, Amana, and Frigidaire. Sears also has the latest in electronics, TVs, VCRs, camcorders, and DVD players. Now, if you find a lower price on an identical branded item with the same features currently available at another local retail store, Sears will match that price plus give you 10% off the difference. That's the Sears Price Match Plus policy. So, save yourself a trip. Stop at Sears first and get a low price promise plus a great selection for your home and garden needs. It's all at your local Sears store right there at 3425 Union, Jerome Williams, 389-9700.
This is your wake-up call global news update. Dateline Washington. The way the administration has handled the aftermath of Hurricane Katrina has caused the president's approval ratings to drop like a rock. A new AP poll puts his popularity at below 40% for the first time since he's been in office. The lightning rod has been the Federal Emergency Management Agency. At first, the president told Michael Brown, the head of that department, that he was doing a heck of a job. But then on Friday, he was relieved of his hurricane relief response responsibilities following intensive criticism about how aid was delayed for critical days to the Gulf Coast areas that were devastated. Even Texas Congressman Tom DeLay put his Republican foot in his mouth when he told a group of evacuees in a Houston shelter that their trauma was not that different from going to summer camp. Other horror stories of how the government dropped the ball include relief supplies sent to non-existent staging areas, resources sent to Texas and the Carolinas but not to Louisiana or Mississippi, families split up to different parts of the country with no advance knowledge of where anyone was going to be, and giving out debit cards worth $2,000, but only to evacuees in Texas. That last idea was quickly scrapped. Now it appears that the toxic floodwaters that inundated New Orleans will make that city unsafe for human living for a number of years. But the Bush administration is trying to cover up that danger. An expert from the EPA says his agency failed to take enough samples of the water and is not making public the results of the samples it did take. And by simply pumping that floodwater back into Lake Pontchartrain, it's setting up for an environmental disaster of unknown proportions. Hugh Kaufman, the EPA man, says Mr. Bush has not included the EPA in the development of the strategy to tackle hurricane cleanup. He says budgets have been cut and inept political hacks have been put into key positions. Kaufman says that all the money for emergency response has gone to buy, quote, guns and cowboys, which doesn't do anything for hurricane relief. This is your wake-up call, Global News Update.
We're waiting for your calls at WGNU. From the local calling area, just dial 314-454-0400. If you're calling long distance, the toll-free number is 1-877-920-WGNU. If you are calling long distance from a car phone or want to use a particular name on the air, please let us know when you call. Get into Talk Radio with a Difference. That's Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920, WGNU.
It takes a village to raise a child. That African proverb has special meaning to Hope for the Nations. In locations in 20 countries worldwide, Hope for the Nations combines education, micro-enterprise, agriculture, healthcare, and housing under one roof. These villages bring together the young and the old, the healthy and the sick, singles, families, and the widowed, the weak and the strong. United to build buildings, build families, build resources, build community. It takes you and your support to help Hope for the Nations raise these villages. For more information, go online, visit www.hopeforthenations.com. That's www.hopeforthenations.com. Hope for the Nations, turning today's orphans into tomorrow's leaders since 1994.
Starting your day with information you can't get anywhere else. It's the award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Not in Iraq, but right here in America. It's the war on poverty, and it's a war that's been ignored and lost. An estimated 37 million Americans are living in poverty. New Orleans is one of the poorest cities in the country, with 40% of its children living in poverty. Mississippi has the highest poverty rate of any state. We've repeatedly given tax cuts to the wealthiest and left our most vulnerable American citizens to basically fend for themselves.
This is a storm that's going to require immediate action now.
Once again, a day late and a dollar short. Words of wisdom from our president. And once again, Bush finds the photo op. Some black folks to hug. Some white men to bond with. He flies over the messy parts of New Orleans. Waves and leaves.
The president has put himself at risk by visiting the troops in Iraq, but didn't venture anywhere near the Superdome or the convention center, where thousands of victims, mostly black and poor, needed to see that he gave a damn.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call, Liz Brown. These are amazing times. Our number here is 1-877-920-WGNU 4540400. Liz Brown, or revolution@lizbrown.com. Get to me. Saeed, good morning.
Good morning. I pray the peace is upon you and your listeners, Sister Liz. And you made a comment earlier with regard to Kanye West as well as Mayor Ray Nagin. Wanted to ask you, when do you feel like we are supposed to take a portion of the responsibilities as a people within a localized government? Things, for instance, you got the cigarette buyers, you got the people that are fashion clothes purchasers, and they spend a big part of their budget on things like this instead of emergency preparedness. You got a mayor down there that's in a city that's full of debauchery and filth and has a number of buses underwater, which in fact are run by state government. But
wait a minute. Let's talk about the buses for a minute, Saeed. What mayor can order a citizen to drive a bus?
We're talking about a situation of emergency, correct?
Yeah, totally. Okay. We're talking about it. What mayor in the country can order a civilian to drive a bus?
He has a police force, and
Wait a minute. How many people are in the police force of New Orleans? And tell me what the citizens.
It's about 1,600.
1,600 police for a city of half a million people.
Mm-hmm.
So how many of those police were supposed to drive the buses?
We had an emergency situation.
I understand that. Pick a number. Pick a number, Saeed. How many of those police officers are supposed to drive a bus?
An assessment to be made.
Pick a number. Pick a number. Pick a number.
Let's say the 400.
Okay, 400. That's four. Okay, let's. All right, let's do that. 400 police out of a police force of 1,500, a police force where hundreds of the police officers made the decision, and a completely understandable decision. You know what? I'm not going to work today. I'm going to go save my grandmama who's getting ready to drown. I'm going to go save my three-month-old child. I'm going to save my family. I don't care. They were busy trying to find their families. They were trying to get to a bus. They were trying to find their families. Hold on, Saeed, because this is just crazy.
Okay.
This is just crazy. So a mayor is supposed to say, instead of the police out there rescuing the people that needed to be rescued, I'm going to order them 400 on the buses, right? And so what would that have done? What would that have done? The mayor of the city has no authority to order anybody to drive a bus. They couldn't even get enough drivers to drive people to the Superdome. They didn't have enough drivers to get people to the Superdome. The fact of the matter. Wait a minute, Saeed. Shut up. You just don't know what you're talking about. The fact of the matter is that the governor declared a state of emergency on Saturday, August 27th. You're just like these people out here that look at a black face and say it's his fault. Let him take responsibility. Once the federal government on Saturday, declared that FEMA had full authority to respond to Katrina and gave FEMA the authority that says that FEMA is authorized to mobilize and provide at its discretion equipment and resources to alleviate the impacts of the emergency, FEMA on Saturday had the authority to send the National Guard, whose job it is to protect people in times of a hurricane or an emergency. They have the ability and the authority on Saturday, August 27th. And you're trying to say exactly what George Bush is trying to say. You're trying to say exactly what Newt Gingrich is trying to say. You're trying to say the same thing that Tom DeLay is trying to say. That is the black man's fault. That is his fault that he didn't order citizens who were running for their lives, running for their children's lives running to save their own lives from floodwaters. It's his fault that he couldn't find the authority to order somebody to drive a damn bus. Insanity. Insanity. The federal government's job is to do that. They had the authority on Saturday, August 27th, and they never did it. Put the fault where the fault is and don't let your head get messed up with people that are trying to tell you lies for their own political advantage. You ain't even in the plans of the people that are telling you the lies. Quit carrying the water. Take responsibility. Take responsibility for your own mind. And know the truth when it spits in your face. I'm Liz Brown. I'll be back after this. Stay with me.
WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis. 920 on your AM dial.
The night aboard the USS Iwo Jima tours the damage this morning. ABC's Ann Compton is traveling with the president.
After a briefing with the governor and the mayor, President Bush heads out for his first street-level look at New Orleans neighborhoods. The military is providing trucks capable of navigating high water.
The president also tours Gulfport, Mississippi today before returning to the White House. The airport in New Orleans has reopened to cargo planes and plans to offer limited passenger flights starting tomorrow. Some gun dealers in Arkansas say their sales have gone up since the hurricane. Dealers say many buyers want to be armed before they return to their property. The most vulnerable islands off North Carolina's Outer Banks are evacuated with Hurricane Ophelia creeping ever closer. Meteorologist Robert Moyeda is at the National Hurricane Center.
We have a tropical storm warning and a hurricane watch in effect from Edisto Beach, South Carolina, all the way up to Cape Lookout in North Carolina.
The outer bands are already kicking up heavy surf. The gavel comes down at noon today as the Senate Judiciary Committee opens confirmation hearings into Judge John Roberts' nomination as Chief Justice.
Years ago, when he worked in the Justice Department, John Roberts helped Sandra Day O'Connor prepare for her Senate confirmation hearings. Now it's Roberts' turn to face senators' questions. But that won't happen today. Day one is likely to be taken up entirely by opening statements from committee members and Judge Roberts himself.
ABC's Vic Ratner reporting from Washington. This is ABC News.
My name is Sarah, and when I was about 17, I started Fry Farms. I sold our first load of pumpkins to a local Walmart. And one by one, my brothers came home from college to join me in the business. 10 years later, we're selling millions of cantaloupes, watermelons, and pumpkins that can be found in Walmart stores across the nation. Walmart appreciated the quality of the local produce, and the rural communities have thrived because of our business with Walmart. It makes me feel great. I love it.
So you had the big meeting yesterday. The boss was cranky from 6 hours on the red eye. Dan left the presentation in the cab, and you sat on a 4-inch window ledge for 90 minutes.
Next time, web conference with Microsoft Office Live Meeting and have a more productive meeting without leaving your office. Present to clients around the globe, collaborate in real time, even get instant feedback by taking a live poll.
Try it free for 14 days at Microsoft.com/WorkLive. That's Microsoft.com/WorkLive or call 1-877-MEET-WEB today.
Canada's Ontario province is taking steps to prohibit religious courts, as ABC's Gil Fox reports.
The premier of the Canadian province of Ontario says there'll be one law for all residents. He will not allow Ontario to become the first Western government to allow the use of Islamic law to settle family disputes. Dalton McGuinty says he will move to ban all religious arbitration. Since 1991, Ontario has allowed Jewish and Catholic tribunals to settle family law matters. It got little notice until Muslim leaders demanded the same thing. Now McGuinty says the religious courts threaten our common ground, and he will move to outlaw all of them. Gil Fox, ABC News.
French President Jacques Chirac is back at work. Chirac, 72, was hospitalized for a week for what doctors described as a small vascular accident that impaired the vision in one eye. And singer and guitarist Clarence Gatemouth Brown has died of cancer and heart disease in his hometown of Orange, Texas. He was 81. Clarissa Douglas, ABC News.
Good morning, St. Louis. 4 minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's news, traffic, and weather. This hour's news is sponsored by FedEx Kinko's. In the news in your 7 o'clock hour, Lambert St. Louis International Airport officials are expecting approximately 500 Gulf Coast evacuees to arrive at a former Boeing hangar today. The hangar-turned-shelter can accommodate up to 2,000 people, and it includes a full cafeteria, medical facilities, showers, sleeping quarters, clothing, and other supplies. The state Senate has passed a bill fixing some language in this year's Workers' Compensation Reform Act. The Senate Republicans say the language could negate the system if it is not corrected. Republican State Senator Michael Gibbons says the Democrats and the Senate blocked an emergency clause on a bill that could hurt workers over the next 90 days.
I don't understand putting people at risk just to say, I don't like your workers' comp reform. It didn't really have anything to do with that. It's just supposed to put clarity, certainty, make sure there's no confusion, no ambiguity.
The State House takes up the workers' comp bill this week as a special session continues. Two-thirds vote in the House could still put an emergency clause on the bill. An anti-methamphetamine bill, co-sponsored by Missouri Senator Jim Talent, has the U.S. Senate's approval. The Combat Meth Act is now an amendment on the Commerce, Justice, and Science Appropriations Bill, which is expected to clear the Senate as soon as this week. The bill could put cold medicines containing pseudoephedrine behind pharmacy counters and require purchasers to show identification and sign a log. Monthly purchases could be limited to 7.5 grams. The Appropriations Bill has already passed the House and will go to the Conference Committee once it clears the Senate. And finally this hour, some St. Louis area police departments are cracking down on traffic violations involving pedestrians. Police officers in University City and cities of St. Charles and St. Louis are increasing their enforcement of pedestrian safety laws. During high-risk hours for pedestrians, plainclothes officers will walk across intersections and crosswalks if an officer notices that a motorist or a cyclist runs a stop sign or stoplight or proceeds into a crosswalk after the officer has established the right-of-way. The offender will receive a warning or citation. Pedestrians may also be cited for those who violate city ordinances. This hour's news has been sponsored by FedEx Kinko's. For overnight ground or even the heavy stuff, you can always rely on the ultimate and reliable shipping. Relax, it's FedEx. 7 minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock, now let's take a look at your WGNU traffic. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Ride Finders. Northbound 55 between Butler Hill and 270, slow traffic in the right lane. Eastbound 44 between Bowles and Lindbergh, expect normal traffic. Eastbound 40 between 141 and Mason Road, you've got slow traffic. Northbound 270 from Tesson Ferry to 44, look for slow traffic in pockets. Westbound 270 between New Florissant and 170, you've got slow traffic in the right lane as you approach 170's exits. Eastbound 70 between Bryan Road and 79, look for a very heavy volume this hour. Eastbound 40 at the last Missouri exit, which is Broadway. There's construction on the exit, and that is closed. You can use the 11th Street exit to get around that area. Eastbound 40 at Lindbergh, expect very heavy volume this hour. Southbound 55 at Union, construction work has the two right lanes closed this hour. Westbound 5570 split from the 3rd Street onto the PSB. Look for slow traffic. Westbound 64 at 5570. No problems report. Westbound Kingbridge traffic at Illinois Bank all the way into Laclede's Landing. Look for very heavy volume this hour. Northbound Illinois Route 3 before Poplar Street. Look for no problems to report. Shoto at Grand. Traffic lights are still not working this hour. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Ride Finders. Pumped up about gas prices? Pump money back into your pocket by carpooling to work using Ride Finder's free ride matching service. Call Ride Finders at 1-800-VIP-RIDE. That's 1-800-VIP-RIDE. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Wednesday. Mostly sunny skies today, a high in the lower 90s this evening, mostly clear with a low around 70. Tuesday, partly cloudy skies with a high in the lower 90s. Tuesday evening, showers and thunderstorms are likely with a low around 70. Then moving on to Wednesday, partly sunny skies, scattered showers, a high in the upper 80s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we are holding at 71 degrees. Lambert Field also has 71 degrees as well. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. It's up next. We'll take another look at your news we'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I like some cookies.
Potato chips.
Candy.
Ice cream.
Brownies. Marshmallows.
Cotton candy.
Left to their own devices, children wouldn't always eat right.
Chocolate donuts for breakfast.
I want pizza. Pizza. Pizza.
Popcorn.
That's why they have you.
French fries.
And you have WIC. WIC provides nutrition information, healthcare referrals, even food to women, infants, children. It's confidential and free. To find out more about WIC, our nearest location, or if you qualify for our benefits, call 1-866-WIC-INFO. That's 1-866-WIC-INFO. Your child has you.
Pepperoni pizza.
And you have WIC. Brought to you by the National WIC Association and the Ad Council.
Hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Feel my brothers talking about the sky. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Feel my brothers talking about the sky.
It is time for us to use our power. Please do not beg for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you and people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis. I will never say that progress is being made. If you take a knife and knife back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it.
Everything that you do in this country is political. Every move you make is political, and every move that white people or the ruling class makes against black people is political.
You got me. I look like a person that's been through it. I don't look like a star today. I've really been through it. Not only am I'm a resident of New Orleans, I'm a person that really lost his house, lost everything.
Welcome back.
But I'm not here for that today.
Welcome back. Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. And if you want to toll free long distance me, you can do that at 1-877-920-WGNU. Don't forget, we broadcast live all over the world at www.wgnu.net. Any kind of, every kind of, all kinds of ways. Get to me. Don't forget, email me at revolution@lizbrown.com. That's revolution@lizbrown.com. We have so much to talk about this morning. We've been talking about, of course, what is in the heads and in the hearts of most Americans, Katrina, New Orleans, and what is happening to our people out there. This morning I have joining me a family of 40-some members that have been brought here to St. Louis because they have been displaced from New Orleans and the New Orleans region. And I want to do my best to introduce folks to our listeners out here. And I want to start with our youngest guest here, too. And he's here to talk to us about what he saw, what he experienced, what he is going through in these amazing times that we live in within the aftermath of Katrina. What's your name?
Danielle.
Darnell, move up to the microphone just a little bit, sweetie. Darnell, move up to the microphone. There you go. There you go. Stay real close. Say your name again.
Darnell.
Darnell, how old are you?
6.
You're 6 years old. Where do you live?
New Orleans.
New Orleans. Okay. And who else do we have joining us here?
Sylvia.
Sylvia, what's your last name?
Alexander.
Sylvia Alexander, and you're from?
New Orleans.
New Orleans as well.
Mom, do you know I can hear you?
Okay. Yeah, Darnell, you can hear everybody on the headphones. And who else do we have joining us?
My name is Shalita Howard, and I am from New Orleans as well.
Shalita. And we also have
Tiffany Alexander. I'm also from New Orleans as well.
Okay. I really want to start with, and Howard, if we could get this, get this cut going here. If we can get this cut going here, I want to start with a soundbite. From a radio talk show host in another city. I want to start with, and it's really kind of an amazing, statement. I want to start with this. Howard, can you get up number 14 there for us? Let's listen to this.
But the second thought that I had when I saw these people and they had to shut down the Astrodome and lock it down, I thought, I didn't think I could hate victims faster than the 9/11 victims. These guys, when you see, and you know, it's really sad. We're not hearing anything about Mississippi. We're not hearing anything about Alabama. We're hearing about the victims in New Orleans. This is a 90,000 square mile disaster site. New Orleans is 181 square miles. 108.2% of the disaster area is New Orleans. And that's all we're hearing about are the people in New Orleans. Those are the only ones.
Okay, this is a radio talk show host, a Clear Channel radio talk show host, who basically has nothing but negative things to say about the people of New Orleans. And one of the things that has happened in this whole discussion has been the issue of how race plays into the decision of how people in New Orleans are treated. You can hear that from that particular talk show host. You know, he wouldn't be saying that if he was talking about folks from Nantucket. Mm-hmm. You know, he wouldn't have that to say about them. So I want to start with you, Sylvia. What do you feel when you hear words like that coming from fellow Americans?
I feel like he's stupid. Like he ain't got nothing else to say. If that was him up in that water, he'd be trying to figure out how to do something for them. But no, them black people out in that water trying to swim with water all way over their head and their roof and two-story houses and everything else. But no, that's all they want to talk about. Why New Orleans? Why you think it's full of water?
So, Sylvia, talk to us about what happened to you. You were actually there on the ground when the water was
there. I was there.
What was it like?
Monday when the hurricane went through, the water wasn't but no higher than your knees. Went down, dried out, and everything. If I wouldn't have stayed upstairs in the second floor house, I'd probably be dead up in my house. So I was on the ground floor house. The water rose up to my chest by Tuesday morning, by 10 o'clock, it was up to my chin. And I'm 5'6". So you know that water was up there. Then I'm in the house trying to get my papers so I can have my ID. The refrigerator decides to hit me, want to kill me. I'm about to die in the house. The door's closed. The water went to rise and more so. I got out.
You got hit by the refrigerator.
It was floating across the house. It was rising off the water, had to lay it down, and went to floating. And I went to going. And I got out. And me and my baby, he's 6 years old, went to walk by my sister that lives on Audubon Street. We walked there, I think 3 miles, in the water, up to my chest. So you know he couldn't have been in the water. He was on my back.
So you had your baby on your back?
On my back, walking in the water.
And I don't know how to say this, but how scared were you?
I was scared. In certain spots, you're running to 10 trees, God knows what was in the water, and I was barefoot. So I was just walking.
So you didn't have any shoes on when you walked this 3 miles? You didn't have time to put shoes on?
We were still asleep when we realized the water was rising. You could see the water coming out the seams of the ground. The way they have the concrete split in certain spots, you could see the water come, bubbles coming out the ground. That's how the water's coming from every little seam. What, man?
I saw it came up before you saw it.
Well, still.
You saw it come up before she saw it. What did you think when you saw it? Move up to the microphone, sweetheart.
The water was crazy.
Well, were you scared?
Mm-mm.
You weren't scared?
Until that water got up.
And when the water finally got up, were you scared?
Yeah.
What was it like being on the back of your mom when she was carrying you? Were you scared then?
Mm-mm.
What were you thinking? Look in the mic. Get to the microphone. What were you thinking? Do you remember what you were thinking when your mom was carrying you?
Mm-mm.
What were you saying to your mom?
Yes, she was.
What was he saying?
He was saying, Mama, don't let me get on the bottom. I can't stand up down there. I'm going to fall. So we found a little piece of wood, and it was floating, so I put him on the wood after walking so far. He was heavy. So he ran on the wood.
He's not 4 years old. He's not three. He's 6 years old.
He's six, and he was on. I said, you got to hold on, because I got to hold my head up. I got to tiptoe. I can't hold you. You got to hold my neck.
So you're walking on your tiptoes.
Tiptoes to keep the water from being in my nose. The water was way up to my chin. Certain spots had to go down and up, depending on how you walk. Streets got slumps in it.
So you are five foot six, and you're walking on your tiptoes.
On my tiptoes. So the water was almost over my head from the beginning.
So if you're 5'3", the water is over
head. Oh, yeah. You just for us to find you a car to walk across all the cars, because they was over the cars.
Let me get to, we have State Representative Maria Chappelle Nadal on the line. She has coordinated some efforts to help you all and to get you situated while you're here in St. Louis. Representative Chappelle Nadal, good morning.
Good morning. How are you doing today, Liz?
I am outstanding. How are you?
Excellent. Thank you.
Talk to us about this family. And talk to us about how you came to be involved in the coordination of the efforts to assist this family.
Well, you know, it's really interesting. I usually call my dad during the week, and I just got home on Friday evening, and I sent out an email to all of my constituents asking them to answer a call to action, open up their homes to anyone who may come from the Gulf area. And I was feeling really perplexed because there was nothing that we could immediately do. However, when I called my dad's house, there was a family. My stepmother saw this family getting off the bus, and she asked the neighbor, you know, is this a funeral? And the neighbor said, no, this is a new family coming up from New Orleans. And so immediately I got off the phone and I said, you know, I'm going over there right now. They're right around the corner from my house, and it's going to be my new family. I went to the house, and I saw all of these faces just wondering what's going to happen. And I immediately started asking questions, what do you need? The most immediate issue became health care. I just began scrambling around to try to find a doctor and trying to find free meds. When I left the home, I sent out another call to action to my constituents, and that was probably about 11 o'clock at night. I started getting phone calls at my house about midnight, people wanting just to help this family. And by the next day, people were just going into the house one after the other. Saturday, Sunday, calling. And, you know, we got to do this on a regular basis. This is, I told you the other day, this reminds me when some of our family came from Africa into the whole slave trade and families were separated. And we have to pick up. It's our turn to pick up. This is the responsibility we have as black people to help our brothers and sisters. So I now have a new family, extended family. We're not related, but I call them our extended family.
And when you talk about the inadequate services and the inadequate coordination, what do you mean by that?
Well, it's just a shame. It is awful that I have to be a state representative and I don't know where to go for health care needs. It's a shame that as a state representative or as a human being, someone in St. Louis who wants to help doesn't know where someone can go for housing, doesn't know the process. So, you know, I met with some people at the congressman's office last week and it was just kind of interesting to me how we all got into these different committees, yet I had a real-life family of 40 people, and I've touched the housing issue. I've already touched the employment issue. I've already touched the health care needs. It is a shame that all of these organizations, your United Way, your American Red Cross, this and that, there's no connection, absolutely no connection, between grassroots people like you and I and these organizations.
Well, what's the state's response to this? What's Matt Blunt's response to this?
Well, this is what really interests me.
And this is the governor.
When the governor, I read in the paper yesterday, I believe, that the governor, Blunt, is opening up our public park and said that people can come in into our public parks and they could camp out for an extended period of time.
Wait a minute. The man-child, who is our governor, said that folks can pitch a tent for 2 weeks. Only pitch a tent for 2 weeks in public parks in the state of Missouri. That's his solution. It sounds like a man who wants to be just like George W. Bush.
Hmm. Exactly. Racist. That's not community. So we have to treat our people good. This is our family. We're not blood related, but let me tell you something else we did. This is just this community. I am so proud of my community. I got to tell you, because they answered the call. White, black, everybody came and called, responded to the call to action. What was so fascinating is on Friday night or Saturday night, WashU students, they wanted to throw a fundraiser for this family. And I said, you know, this family is doing really well. You know, you can give your money to another group or whatever. And they said, no, this is our family that we want to adopt. They wanted to adopt this family.
And I think that that's very interesting, Maria, because it speaks to a lot of distrust that is out there in the community about where the money is going to. People call me. People have emailed me. People have talked to me about, I don't want to send it to the Red Cross. I don't want to send it to United Way because I don't know where it's going to go. I want to put it in the hands. I want to put it on with the families. I want to see a face to give this to because I want to know that what I am doing matters and is going to help people.
Well, that's exactly right. When I was getting my phone calls, and I got a million of them at my house, people said, you know, I already gave to the Red Cross, or I don't trust the Red Cross because of what they did to 9/11, when you had all of this extra money, but they couldn't give it back to the family.
Yep.
And so people were really pissed about that, especially folks in my community. And so this was an opportunity. And I actually urge everybody, if you know any family, many people, these organizations actually suggest you don't give money to these people. But heck, when you've lost your house, you've lost family members, you've lost everything, this is the least that we can do. So anyway, people want to give to families directly. They want to touch the families. They want to hear the stories. You know, because when we're looking at the images on TV, we feel really badly and we want to do something. Well, why can't we do something right here, right home? And one of the things that I wanted to point out again, which you mentioned, this coordination effort just in Missouri, just in St. Louis, is horrible.
Well, and it's not only is it horrible, it's offensive. Matt Blunt, or they were talking about sending folks to Gumbo, a prison facility, housing people at a prison facility. And Maria, if you can stay with us just a moment, because I want to get back to some of the stories. I want people to be able to feel what folks have gone through in this life experience. And so I want to get back to Sylvia. Sylvia, you were talking to us about walking through the water with your son on your back, finding a piece of wood to float your baby on as you're walking. Where were you going?
My sister's.
To your sister's house?
Yeah, she lived on the second floor in a neighborhood where mostly white people live.
So
they had better drainage. They didn't have, when I got to her area where her house was, the water was to my ankle. That's how high the water was down there. And that was a different way it was made.
It was down from where you live?
Yes. From where I live at toward Carrollton, it was like Audubon and Pritchard and Warrensley, that's where she lived at, in the white rich people area. She lived in that part. When I got to her neighborhood, the water was at my ankle. He could get down and walk in it. That's how low it was. I couldn't even use the ramp no more because it was too low to push it. So he had to get off the thing and walk. It was that low.
So is that the way that all of New Orleans is?
Up and down, yeah.
So it depends upon the...
depends on the area you live in. Your drainage don't work. Your garbage man don't work. It's the same way like it around here. People don't work. They don't do nothing for you in New Orleans if you're a certain color. You got to go through a whole lot. Like they say, we was refugees. No, we not.
And how does that make you feel? Because I wanted to throw something at my television.
I worked for a living since I was 16 years old. And I paid my taxes, and nobody didn't give me nothing. I worked for what I was getting.
Well, what did you think? Pass the microphone over there. And tell us again your name.
My name is Shalita. And what I think about them calling us refugees, we are citizens. We are displaced at this present moment. We live in New Orleans. I don't understand how these people could get on television and low rate us like this. We do have, we are black.
Mm-hmm.
And we do have some black people that, you know, have lives for themselves. We all work to make a living. We struggle hard.
And first and foremost, you were born in this country.
I was born in the United States, so why would you call me a refugee?
We're going to take a break, folks. I'm talking to a family that has been displaced from New Orleans. Y'all want to go back?
One day.
Yeah. I want to go home.
You want to go home?
Yeah.
You want to go home, baby?
Yes, and yeah.
All right, we're going to take a break, folks. This is Liz Brown. I am here talking with the family. I also have with me State Representative Maria Chappelle Nadal. We're talking about a family of folks. We're going to listen to the mayor of New Orleans about what is going on, what went on in New Orleans during Katrina. Stay with us.
And they don't have a clue what's going on down here. They flew down here. One time, 2 days after the doggone event was over, with TV cameras, AP reporters, all kind of excuse my French, everybody in America. But I am pissed. I need reinforcements. I need troops, man. I need 500 buses, man. We're talking about, you know, one of the briefings we had, they were talking about getting, public school bus drivers to come down here, bus people out here. I'm like, you gotta be kidding me. This is a national disaster. Get every doggone Greyhound bus line in the country and get moving to New Orleans.
Good morning, St. Louis. 34 minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton. We'll look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by National City Bank. Northbound 55 at Butler Hill, M270, slow traffic in the right lane. Eastbound 44 at Antire, Merrimack River Bridge, no problems reported. Eastbound 40 between Timberlake Manor and Mason Road, look for slow traffic as well. Northbound 270 at 55 and 44, slow traffic in pockets. Westbound 270 from 367 all the way into West Florissant, look for very heavy volume in your 7:30 commute. Eastbound 70 at KN 79, you've got slow traffic to report. Eastbound 40 between Ballast and Hanley, look for slow traffic in pockets. Southbound 55 at Union, there's construction. Two right lanes are closed. Westbound 70 at 94, look for road construction. Left lane is blocked. Westbound 40 at Clayton, Skinker, and Hanley, look for slow traffic. Westbound 55, 70 split from 64 onto the PSB. It is stop and go. Westbound 64 at 55, 70 split, look for no problems to report. Westbound Kingbridge traffic at Laclede's Landing, everything is on the move. And northbound Route 3 from 8th Street onto the approach of the Poplar Street Bridge, look for slow traffic to report there. Shoto at Grand, those traffic lights are still not working. Eldridge at Plateau, there's a report of an injury accident that's in Webster Groves. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by National City Bank. National City makes managing your finances easy as by giving you free checking with unlimited transactions, extensive retirement planning, and more. National City, banking made simple for lives that are not. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Wednesday. Mostly sunny today, high in the lower 90s. This evening, mostly clear with a low around 70. Tuesday, partly cloudy, high in the lower 90s. Tuesday evening, showers and thunderstorms are likely with a low around 70. And then on Wednesday, partly sunny skies, scattered showers, high in the upper 80s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 73 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 72. Stay tuned for more of the award-winning wake-up call with your host, Liz Brown. She's up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Participate in a forest habitat observation walk at the Powder Valley Conservation Nature Center, 11715 Crankwold Road in Kirkwood, on Saturday, September 17th from 9:30 to 11:30 a.m. How does the topography affect the plants, trees, and wildlife of a forest? Observe these influences as we hike the Hickory Ridge Trail. To find out more, call 314-301-1500. Something for hikers from Radio Free St. Louis.
Is the IRS ruining your life? Are you afraid of losing everything? You can end the despair you feel right now. Get ready to write down an important phone number you're going to need to solve your IRS nightmare. The number is 800-376-9913.
Hello, I'm John Harris, president of J.K. Harris & Company, the nation's largest tax representation firm. IRS problems have a way of ruining every aspect of your life if you let them. Our former IRS agents and tax professionals have successfully negotiated settlements for thousands of our clients, saving them millions of dollars.
According to IRS statistics, the average settlement for accepted offers and compromise was between 12 and 15 cents per tax dollar owed, which means you could qualify to reduce your tax debt by as much as 85%. If you owe the IRS back taxes, call J.K. Harris at 800-376-9913. You may qualify to dramatically reduce your tax debt. Call 800-376-9913. 9913. That's 800-376-9913.
New state-of-the-art technology has made it possible to offer copies of programs heard on WGNU to the listening audience at a lower cost. If there is a specific program you are interested in having for your personal library, we can now make it available to you at a cost of $25 per hour. Please make a check or money order payable to WGNU Radio, 265 Union, St. Louis, 63108. Please specify the time, day, and particular topic, and allow 10 days delivery. All program recordings are subject to availability.
Informative, educational, provocative. This is the award-winning Morning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
We'll do another press conference until the resources are in this city, and then come down to this city and stand with us when there are military trucks and troops that we can't even count. Don't tell me 40,000 people are coming here. They're not here. It's too doggone late.
Too late.
Now get off your asses and let's do something, and let's fix the biggest goddamn crisis in the history of this country.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. I'm Liz Brown. Don't forget our number is 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. Email is revolution@lizbrown.com. And don't forget, we also are archived daily at whiterosesociety.org, at whiterosesociety.org. If you missed an hour, go get an hour. I'm back from vacation. We are talking about Katrina, and we have a family here that has been displaced from New Orleans and is staying with us here in the city of St. Louis. We also have on the line with us State Representative Maria Chappelle Nadal. Everyone, welcome back. I want to get to you. I want to talk to you. Tell us your name again, and then tell us what you think when you're hearing the Mayor Ray Nagin talk to the world about what for real is happening in New Orleans.
Okay, my name is Tiffany Alexander. I was proud at the end with the mayor because he did go off. You know, he made him come. He went off because at first I was real mad with him because he wasn't doing anything. And the people, he just went off on everybody. And that made me feel a little better about getting help to everybody in New Orleans.
And Shalita, you were talking about that things just didn't happen until he cussed somebody out. Mm.
And it's a shame to have our mayor to get on the news and use those kind of words, to have to use those kind of words in order to get some help. They want to point fingers, but he's only staying in his position. It's a chain of link thing. You have the president, then you have the government, then you have the mayor. You have to look at those.
Now people. All of a sudden it's like they're trying to say the mayor, the president.
Yes. Exactly.
That he has the same authority that George W. Bush has.
Yes, and he don't.
Not for real. I mean, ask him what he could do before Katrina.
You know, Liz, I want to say this. We have these people that haven't experienced this. We have these people like the president. He have not experienced this. We have people like those people from FEMA that don't have families in New Orleans that didn't experience this. Like that person that got on the broadcast and said, why are everything is just about New Orleans, New Orleans? Why no one isn't mentioning Alabama and Mississippi? It's because, they haven't experienced these things that we have experienced.
Talk to us about, we were talking off the air about what happened to your nephew, to kind of give an idea of what it is like to live in New Orleans and how people are treated based upon the color of their skin.
Well, I have a 14-year-old nephew, and he was mistaken identity for someone that had stolen a car. And the police arrested my nephew.
This is right before the flood.
This was right before the flood.
Okay.
This was right before the flood.
A day before the flood.
No, not. It was maybe 2 weeks before the flood.
Okay.
But he was arrested by a police officer. And he busted him in the face with a brick.
Okay.
They brought him to Charity Hospital. They allowed my mother to see him. At first, they wasn't allowing his own mother nor my mother to see him.
And he's 14 years
old. And
he's
14. And when my sister explained to the police that her child was only 14, he was in a state of shock. Hmm. He couldn't believe that my nephew was only 14.
So take us to the courtroom.
When they arrested him, my mother went down and signed him out. They went to court the next 2 days. Because they didn't have enough chairs in the courtroom. My nephew was standing behind the door. The judge came out the door and told him, get from behind the damn door.
The judge said
that. The judge said that.
Now, your nephew's not charged with anything.
He was not. It was mistaken identity. But because they brought him to juvenile jail, he had to go to the juvenile court system.
So the judge tells him to get from behind the damn door.
The damn door. He come out. He went through another door. This is the judge I'm speaking about. He came back. My nephew was in that spot again.
Because there are no seats in the
court. Because there are no seats. There were no seats there. This is how many black people that we have in the court system.
So what happened? So the judge comes back. He's still at the door.
He's still behind my nephew, back at that spot again.
And he's 14.
Okay. He gave him 15 days. 15.
15 days
from standing behind the door.
Now, what did that have to do with the flood? Help us with that.
We are separated from him.
This was at, now when the judge gave him the 15-day sentence. That was right before the flood.
That was right before the flood. He was supposed to be released on the 31st of this month. We have not. Well, at this present moment, we have spoken with him, but we didn't have any ideas where my nephew were.
What happened to him? Did he tell you what happened to him?
He was placed on a bridge for 4 days. Without water, Jesus. Without food.
And he's 14.
And he's 14. This is our next generation. 14 that have to experience these things. Some people don't know what we go through living in New Orleans. So that's why they can say, why New Orleans? They don't know what we are going through. They need to come down and live in New Orleans and experience some of these things.
And Sylvia, when you see what happened to New Orleans and how New Orleans was treated and how his wife didn't even know the name of Katrina, calling it Corinna.
So racist.
You know, I mean, the baby rapper West, Kion West.
Yeah. I love you, Conway.
Okay, love you. He said George W. Bush doesn't care about black people. What do you feel when you hear those words?
That's the truth. He don't. If he cared, he was this time from the beginning. We wouldn't have to wait for the mayor to get on the news and go screaming and howling and talking about everybody. We would have they would have been some water out there and some food. No, right after the mayor got on the news, they dropped water and food out the plant. It wasn't no more than an hour afterward. And they never had no plans passing over there. And the water was way up to your chest. You should have been trying to find out where people were at, whether they was hanging out windows or trying to get some help. They had people in old folks' home around the block from where I was at. They hanging out the window with sheets, trying to get out the window and float on doggone cars. Y'all ain't right.
And we have another baby in here with us. Tell us your name.
My name is Keyshell Alexander.
Keyshell Alexander, how old are you?
I'm 12 years old.
You're 12 years old? And were you there when the waters were rising? Were you there?
No, we left.
Okay.
And we came here.
Okay, did you see the flood?
On the news.
On the news. Okay, what was it like when you had to leave New Orleans? What happened? Can you tell us what happened? Do you remember what happened?
No.
Do you remember seeing anybody in the flood? Did you see people in the floodwaters? Did you see people walking around? Did you see your relatives in the floodwaters?
I didn't see my relatives, but I saw people.
Mm-hmm. What did you think when you were seeing the people in the waters?
Scared, and that was sad and happy I left.
Happy that you left? Do you miss New Orleans?
Yes.
Do you want to go back to New Orleans?
Yes.
Well, we're going to have to take a break right now. I am talking to a family that is here. And if folks want to help you, if folks want to help your transition, if people want to be able to reach out and to touch you and to put things into your hands, what do you need and where can people contact you?
Well, at this present time, we are at 1077 Midland Boulevard at a cousin's house. And this is a two-bedroom house. And, I mean, we don't expect overnight service, but we love the things that St. Louis is doing for us. And but something just is real. The movement is real slow. The process is real slow. We love the things that they're doing. Everybody is nice, kind. You know, we have some people that still, we met a lady down at St. Patrick's, and she was very rude. Mm. I mean, she was like, they want to help the people from New Orleans, but they need to be helping the people here at in St. Louis first. What happens is that the people here in St. Louis have houses. They have the opportunity to have employment. Before we got here, we don't have anything. I am a mother of three. I owned it my own home. Mm. I lost everything.
Where can people phone you and give you?
They can phone us at area code 314-256-1085. And that's again, area code 314-256-1085.
And if you want to email me, you can do that at revolution@lizbrown.com. We'll be back.
We have situations in America in which race continues to play a part, that class continues to play a part, that people are not availing themselves of the same opportunities, of the same schools, of the same jobs. When disaster strikes, it tears the curtain away from the festering problems that we have beneath.
Hello, this is Brother Willie Loudon, Join me every Sunday morning at 8:30 and let's praise him broadcast. Good gospel music and the latest church news to help you start your Sunday morning. So tune in on the Let's Praise Him broadcast every Sunday morning at 8:30 right here on WGNU.
This is your wake-up call, Global News Update. Dateline, New York. Former head janitor at the World Trade Center, William Rodriguez, who related his story on the wake-up call of how an explosion in the basement of the tower preceded the plane crash on September 11, 2001, is reporting that his apartment in Jersey City was burglarized last week. He says he came home on a Saturday night and found his door was open. The jewelry belonging to his girlfriend was taken, along with a laptop computer that had detailed information about his 9/11 story. Rodriguez says he has received messages over the past few weeks from a Washington investigative reporter named Wayne Madsen. Those messages indicated that he could be targeted by the government because of his information regarding the events of 9/11 that could pose a threat to a possible conspiracy by the government. Rodriguez's story has been told in its entirety by media from other countries, but the American news entities have chosen to censor vital parts in an effort to suppress it, as did the 9/11 Commission. And Dateline Baton Rouge. A Louisiana police officer has admitted that he ordered his officers to block off a bridge over the Mississippi River to keep evacuees from leaving the crisis in New Orleans just after Hurricane Katrina. Witnesses to the incident report that the cops fired warning shots above the heads of the terrified people to drive them back into their own areas. Of course, the people were mostly black and poor. Two paramedics who were assisting in the relief effort say they were told by the police on the scene that they were not going to allow their community to become another New Orleans. The officers were said to be from Gretna, Louisiana, a mostly white suburb of about 18,000 people. Police Chief Arthur Lawson admits the officers closed the Crescent City Connection Bridge, but defended the move, saying there was no food, water, or shelter in Gretna City, and he was not going to allow his town to be looted, burned, and pillaged like New Orleans. This is your wake-up call, Global News Update.
Right now, the sun is shining, but people are crying. This is Aaron Neville speaking for the American Red Cross. When a hurricane like Katrina passes, it leaves behind massive devastation. Just because the weather map shows the storm is over, doesn't mean it's over. People have lost their homes, lost their families. People were glued to their TVs. Where will it hit? Where will it hit? It's still hitting. For some people, Hurricane Katrina could last for the rest of their lives. This is a country that comes together in times of need. Do whatever you can. Please help these people put their lives back together. Call 1-800-HELP now or go to redcross.org and click Donate Now. If it takes a while, keep trying. Please help the devastated victims of Hurricane Katrina and thousands of other disasters each year. Go to redcross.org or call 1-800-HELP now. Right now, the sun is shining, but the work has just begun. Brought to you by the American Red Cross, the Ad Council, and this station.
Why do you listen to WGNU? Hi, I'm Charles Gehr, Program Director of Radio Free St. Louis, and your answer could make you a winner. Tell us why in a postcard or email of 100 words or less. We'll draw one entry each Monday through Friday during September as part of today's Solutions with Dave Lenahan. You could win some cool stuff from your friends at AM 920, and we all win because your comments will help make Radio Free St. Louis even better. Send a postcard to Why Do You Listen, WGNU 265 Union Boulevard, St. Louis, Missouri 63108, or email me at cgeer@wgnu.net. Include Why Do You Listen in your subject line. Drawings begin Thursday, September 1st and Friday, September 30th. One entry per address, one prize per family, please. WGNU employees, sponsors, and affiliates, including immediate families, are not eligible. No substitution of prizes. All decisions are final. Tell us why you listen, and thanks for listening to Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU, and online at WGNU.net.
A voice for those that should be heard. This is the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Da 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 da.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown. I am here in the studio with a family that has been displaced from New Orleans, family of some 40 folks. And before we get back to, we're also here with Maria Chappelle Nadal. She's calling us from Jefferson City. Don't forget our number here is 454-0400-1877-920-WGNU. And Shalita, you wanted to talk about your family because even though there's 40 of you here, you know, was your whole family in New Orleans?
We all lived in New Orleans. We had a very large family. My grandmother had 14 daughters and 2 sons. One of my aunts, we still have no idea where she is. One of my aunts, they found her down in Monroe, Louisiana. Someone had them raped her, beat her, and right now she's in St. Francisville Medical Center. We have no idea where her kids are. We're looking for Tyrone Woolridge, Cornell Woolridge, or Gwendolyn Woolridge, and they can reach us at that same number, 314-256-1085, or they can reach us at 504-701-1966.
Say that number again.
504-701-1966. Their mother is not, the doctors explained to us that their mother is not looking to make it at all. Because whatever this person did to her, he beat her and she's bleeding on the brain.
Did you see a lot of that? Did you see people, did you see dead bodies? Did you see people be the victims of crimes like that on your way out?
From the news, because we left out the Sunday once Mayor Ray Nagin made it a mandatory evacuation, we left. I didn't have no plans to leave from the beginning, but once the eye was on us, we left.
Did somebody come to your house and tell you that you had to leave? How did you know that you had to leave?
We watched the news.
How did you watch the news?
It was like 5 o'clock that morning, the news was on, and I usually sleep with the TV on, and I can hear them saying how bad the storm was going to be. So my mom called me, and she said, we have to leave. We can't stay here.
How much time did you have to get your stuff together?
We didn't have any time at all. We didn't have any time at all.
What were you able to take out with you?
I might have 3 outfits, and I grabbed some pictures because March 10th, I lost both of my grandkids and their mother. I do have day pictures, but a lot of other things we lost. I lost my father as well, March 29th. My mom didn't take anything with her. She left everything behind. All she had was the outfit she had on her back and maybe another outfit to change with. Because we didn't expect this. We thought Katrina was going to come, and we was going to get hard winds, same as Andrew. We thought we was going to get these hard winds, but then we hear on the news how the levee was punctured, like as if someone had stabbed a knife into it to wash us away.
And the area that it happened was in the 9th Ward.
Yes.
So talk to us about the 9th Ward. What's the 9th Ward?
That's a lower level part of New Orleans.
And who lives generally in the 9th Ward?
None of us live in the 9th Ward, but my mom lives close by.
But it's mostly black folks, right?
Mostly
black folks.
Yes. Well, I have a cousin, Leroy Coverton, that lives in the 9th Ward, and we haven't heard anything from him as well.
How did you all find each other after you decided that you were going to leave? How did you find each other?
The ones that we have here with us now, most of us left together. Some of us came in.
Did you get to select?
Afterwards.
Did you get to choose to come to St. Louis? How did that decision happen?
Well, we have a cousin, Wilma Chestnut, that lives here in St. Louis. And when we left New Orleans, we went to Ponchatoula, and that's a part of Louisiana. And my grandparents own their home there. Well, they deceased, but it's a family home. And they didn't have the water. Well, we had the running water, but we didn't have the electricity. So we decided to move a little farther. We left and we went to Jackson. They didn't have the electricity. We stayed in Jackson 2 nights. with the stone there as well.
We have 30 seconds here. Can you stay with us about 10 more minutes or so?
Yes.
Okay. And Maria, can you stay with us? Maria, can you stay with us?
Yes.
Okay. We're going to come back with State Representative Maria Chappelle Nadal. We're going to come back with Shalita, Sylvia, Tiffany, and we want to get some of the men that it came up to as part of this family. And we're going to talk about some more about their family. This is Liz Brown. We're talking to survivors of Storm Katrina. That's not Corinna, like Bush's wife would call it. It's Storm Katrina. I'm Liz Brown. We'll be back after the news. Stay with us.
WGMU, Granite City, St. Louis. 920 on your AM dial.
Larissa Douglas. ABC News has learned details of a study that warned the White House and Louisiana officials about the disastrous impact a Category 3 hurricane would have on New Orleans. The disaster response plan predicted Lake Pontchartrain would overflow, resulting in thousands of deaths and widespread contamination. More from ABC's Pierre Thomas.
Under the disaster plan, preparations for the storm should have begun at least 3 days before it hit shore. The city and state had primary responsibility for getting people out of the city. But the plan notes that Louisiana had identified a shortage of resources required to evacuate and support shelters.
President Bush is taking his first tour in the streets of New Orleans. The president is in a military truck designed to navigate high water. Mr. Bush also visits Gulfport, Mississippi today. Recovery progress to report in Alabama 2 weeks after Hurricane Katrina. All but one of the public schools in Mobile County are open today. Surf's way up along the Carolinas with Hurricane Ophelia lurking about 265 miles south-southwest of Cape Hatteras. ABC's Steve Osunsami is following in Atlantic Beach, North Carolina.
It is moving so slowly, it could turn into another Floyd, which dumped more than a foot of rain over the Carolinas in 1999, flooding entire communities.
The storm is moving west about 3 miles an hour. Senate Judiciary Committee members deliver opening statements, and so will Judge John Roberts as his confirmation hearings convene at noon. ABC's Rick Ratner with more.
Before his testimony ends, Judge Roberts will be challenged by Republican Chairman Arlen Specter about judicial activism by several Democrats about privacy and civil rights issues, and by California Democrat Dianne Feinstein, who says she wants to know Judge Roberts' views on abortion.
ABC's Vic Ratner. This is ABC News.
Okay, top three reasons I'm getting my new appliances. Number three, appliances are like jewelry for your kitchen. Number two, the next best thing to a gourmet chef is having all the equipment she uses. And number one, right now, I can get some delicious deals.
Now through October 5th, get up to a $150 gift card on select major appliance purchases of $299 or more. Visit the Home Depot. You can do it. We can help. U.S. stores only. By mail-in rebate. See store for details.
With mortgage rates below 4%, refinancing still makes sense. Call Quicken Loans at 800-316-3511. Because now, for a limited time, Quicken Loans is offering mortgage rates starting below 4%. Call 800-316-3511 to see how low your house payment could be with a rate under 4%. Quicken Loans is an equal housing lender licensed in all 50 states. For mortgage rates lower than 4%, call now. 800-316-3511.
American and Iraqi troops are keeping up the assault on Tal Afar, an insurgent bastion in northern Iraq. ABC's John Berman is there.
The U.S. military says, along with Iraqi forces, they have killed more than 150 insurgents and captured more than 200, and those numbers of captured keep going up. They're catching dozens and dozens by the day. They're using Iraqi informants, people they've caught perhaps the second insurgents who are turning on their former insurgent brothers, perhaps for the promise of safety, perhaps just to curry favor with the U.S. troops. But using these sources, they have identified many people who have been at least helping the insurgency here.
John Berman in Tal Afar, Iraq. The Dalai Lama is in Haley, Idaho, invited by a local Buddhist who's also a financial industry consultant. The 70-year-old Dalai Lama spoke to an audience of about 10,000 people, offering sympathy to the victims of the 9/11 attacks 4 years ago and to the victims and survivors of Hurricane Katrina. Clarissa Douglas, ABC News.
Good morning, St. Louis. 4 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's news, traffic, and weather. This hour's news is sponsored by your Greater St. Louis area Toyota dealers. In the news in your 8 o'clock hour, the Tri-City Regional Port District and the Salvation Army are working to load a barge full of supplies for Hurricane Katrina survivors. Among the goods on the barge will be cleaning supplies, new clothing, bedding, personal hygiene items, canned food, and bottled water. Donations can be dropped off at a warehouse 3F at the River's Edge facility in Illinois on Illinois Route 3. For more information, you can call Tri-City Regional Port District at 618-877-8444. That's 618-877-8444, or the Salvation Army at 618-452-8403. More than $1.7 million in federal drought relief money is headed for Missouri. The funding from the Emergency Conservation Program is designed to help farmers recover from this summer's dry conditions. The new money comes on the heels of more than $1.1 million in emergency conservation funds from the program that was sent to the Missouri last year. The farmers who are eligible for aid may contact their local Farm Service Agency office. An anti-methamphetamine bill co-sponsored by Missouri Senator Jim Talent is in approval of the Senate. The Combat Meth Act is now an amendment on the Commerce, Justice, and Science Appropriations Bill, which is expected to clear the Senate as soon as this week. Talent says the centerpiece of the bill is a plan to remove cold medicines containing pseudoephedrine back behind pharmacy counters.
We believe that this will cut off the supply of pseudoephedrine that they need for these local labs. So we're very hopeful that this part of the bill alone will substantially reduce these meth labs that are afflicting Missourians all over the state.
Pseudoephedrine purchasers will have to sign a purchase log and show identification and would be limited to 7.5 grams a month. The appropriations bill has already passed the House and will go to the conference committee once it clears the Senate. And finally, this hour, the Missouri House has taken up an abortion bill with special session this week after the bill was passed by the state Senate. The bill would give parents the right to sue anyone who helps their child get an abortion without their consent. Pro-life lawmakers say the bill ensures a crucial right for parents, but pro-choice advocates hope the state house will abandon this bill in favor of prevention first legislation, which would bring back the state's family planning program and require pharmacies to fill birth control prescriptions. This hour's news has been sponsored by your Greater St. Louis area Toyota dealers. Toyota owners, trust those who know your vehicle best. Through September, see your local Toyota dealer to schedule your complimentary tire rotation with a purchase of any regularly priced oil change. Seven minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. Now let's take a look at your traffic. Your traffic is sponsored by GM OnStar. Westbound 40 between Big Bend and LaCleat Station. Look for an accident reported to left lane. Expect delays near Hampton. Northbound 55 between 270. Look for slow traffic in the right lane. Eastbound 44 between 141 and Merrimack River Bridge. It is slow. Eastbound 40 between Timberlake Manor and Mason Road. You've got slow traffic as well. Northbound 270 at Tesson Ferry and Marshall. Stop and go traffic this hour. Westbound 255 from Jefferson Barracks Bridge all the way into Lindbergh. No problems to report there. Westbound 270 at 367 and West Florissant. Look for very heavy volume going on this hour. Eastbound 70 at T.R. Hughes and 79. Look for slow traffic to report. Eastbound 40 between Ballas and Hanley. Look for stop and go traffic as well. Southbound 55 at Union. There's construction. The two right lanes are closed this hour. Westbound 70 at 94. Look for road construction. The left lane is closed. Westbound 5570 split from Illinois 203 onto the PSB. Look for stop-and-go traffic. Westbound 64 at Ball Avenue and the 5570 split. You've got slow traffic as well. Westbound Kingbridge traffic from the gravel pit all the way to LaCleat's Landing. You've got traffic on the brakes there. Northbound Illinois Route 3 from Monsanto onto the ramp to the Poplar Street Bridge. It is slow this hour. Shoto at Grand, those traffic lights are still not working. Southbound Lindbergh at 270, look for an accident there. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by GM OnStar. When the unexpected happens, OnStar gives you and your family the safety and security you deserve. Just a push of the button, and OnStar advisors are ready to help. OnStar by GM. To learn more, visit OnStar.com for more details. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Wednesday. Mostly sunny today, high in the lower 90s. This evening, mostly clear with a low around 70. For Tuesday, partly cloudy with a high in the lower 90s. Tuesday evening, showers and thunderstorms are likely with a low around 70. And then on Wednesday, partly sunny skies, scattered showers with a high in the upper 80s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 73 degrees under sunny skies. Lambert Field is reporting 73 degrees, sunny skies, and haze already this hour. Stay tuned now. It's time for the award-winning wake-up call. Liz Brown will be right back with you with another award-winning program. That's up next. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, how can I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, how can I say?
Living this life, a constant struggle each and every day. Some wonder why I'd rather die than to continue living this way. Many are blind and cannot find the truth, 'cause no one seems to really know. But I won't accept that this is how it's going to be. They're holding God to let me and my people go. 'Cause I want to be free, completely free. Lord, won't you please come and take me.
You have to realize that everything that you do in this country is political. Every move you make is political, and every move that white people or the ruling class makes against black people is political.
You got me. I look like a person that's been through it. I don't look like a star today. I really been
through
it.
To
not only am I'm a resident of New Orleans, I'm a person that really lost his house, lost everything I have, but I'm not here for that today. I'm here to talk about the people that's still stuck down there in the water right now, still trying to evacuate right now. And, you know, my big thing that I got with me today is I love the way that the United States moved on helping the tsunami victims. You know, that was a tragedy in another part of the world, and them people really did need help. And I love that. I like the effort that y'all put toward that, we all put toward that. And I like the effort that we put toward war. I mean, right now we're spending $5.6 billion a month on a war. And I don't see no wrong in that. I mean, if that's to protect the country, that's what it is. And I'm not about to point the finger at nobody right now. I'm just here in concern of my city. And I say to everybody, if we can put a million people, a million soldiers in Afghanistan and Iraq, We could definitely put forth the same effort towards New Orleans and Mississippi and fly there and save those people.
Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of them. See, the thing is, people don't know where to go now.
Welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown. I am here. Our number is 1-877-920-WGNU. Don't forget that we are broadcasting live on the World Wide Web at www.wgnu.net. LizBrown.com is the website. Email is revolution@LizBrown.com. You need to get up. You need to get to us. Don't forget that we are broadcasting live on the World Wide Web, and we are also archived daily at whiterosesociety.org. That's whiterosesociety.org. We're talking about, of course, Hurricane Katrina, and we're talking about it from the perspective of those who were there when it happened, those who've had to leave their homes, those that are here in Missouri, those that are confronting the issues in Missouri to have their needs met. We are talking with a family of about 40 members that have managed to make it here to Missouri. And also we're talking to a state representative that has helped facilitating the family's needs and the family's issues and the family's concerns while they are here in Missouri. And I want to come back with State Representative Maria Chappelle Nadal. Maria, welcome back.
Thank you, Liz.
And Maria, you talked to us in the last hour about having to go through the bureaucratic red tape. You talked to us about the absence of organization and connectiveness, if you will, of the different entities out there. This storm has really laid bare a lot of truths about this country and a lot of truths in each state about what we're not capable or not ready to do.
That's exactly right. One thing that I want to point out, if our efforts, if the organizations that are out there, federal and state, are promoting whatever services they are, and they're here in Missouri and they cannot connect to the people on the grassroots, you know, just regular Joe or Jane Smoes like myself and yourself, then just think if we had a catastrophe. Think about if the New Madrid Fault were to all of a sudden rupture and we have an earthquake here. How are we going to contact each other? How are we, if we don't have phone lines, if we don't have water, if we don't have those basic necessities similar to New Orleans and the Gulf Coast area, what in the world are we going to do? So our state, local, and federal need to take a step so that in every community we are able to communicate and get ourselves to a safe place, keep our families together. That's the bigger, even though this is a huge catastrophe, here in St. Louis, in the state of Missouri, the plan, whatever the plan is for catastrophe, it is not public. And I do.
And you are a public elected official.
I'm a public elected official, and I don't know what the plan is. I don't know. And I've been calling to help this family. It's not that I don't want to know. I want to know. Everybody wants to know. But no one is stepping forward, and that's why we're taking steps on our own. You know, forget the who's who in politics. Shoot, I want to make sure my family is safe. Mm. I want to make sure that my neighbors are safe. So what's going to happen 5 years from now or 3 years from now when something happens? If there's a tornado that actually hits St. Louis area, which we haven't had that, but some people say it will. What happens? And so that's why we're doing actually a call to action, a summit to talk about some of these emergency issues in my district this Saturday at the U City Library. There are bigger issues that we need to really address. And, you know, it's awful and I really praise the county for opening up South County Health Clinic where people can go for free medical needs and free prescriptions. That's a wonderful thing, but it should not have taken three people for me to call all of my personal friends for me to know that this was available. That's pathetic. I should not have had to do that. There should have been a list. The email I got from Blunt's office, I mean, it goes down every single county of what counties are doing. It gets to the city of St. Louis and St. Louis County, and basically the governor just says, oh, there's some coordinating efforts in his little bullet point for St. Louis City and St. Louis County. This information, in order for us to receive people and for us to deal with the situation on our own, that needs to be public. Everybody needs to know. If it's per precinct, someone has a radio system where they can connect and see if their family is okay. There should be one in every precinct.
So you're telling me that there is no plan coming from Matt Blunt and his office about what's supposed to happen in the city of St. Louis, what the coordinating efforts are supposed to be?
Or the county or the state. I don't know anything. And I want to get, there's the news thing that was on a little bit earlier, and they're blaming the state and local folks. Listen, that study, Pam, the simulation of a hurricane. What came out yesterday is that that plan from, I think, LSU, Louisiana State University, went directly to FEMA. That FEMA is national. That study that kind of mimicked Katrina went straight to FEMA. And FEMA responded. And FEMA responded. This is a national issue.
Well, the other piece of it is that the reason why that we're having such a willingness, or there's a two-pronged thing that is going on here. We have an administration that is, for the first time, the press, the national press, have been doing their job. Many of them did an unflinching look at what was happening in New Orleans, and they told the truth. And when you tell the truth, people are going to be able to see what this government is not doing.
Makes you wonder. I look at the images in Iraq while we're in war over there, and I figured out, you know, our government has complete control over the images
we see in
Afghanistan and Iraq, but when it comes to our own territory, it's the real deal. You can't hold anybody back.
Well, except with the exception of their initial response, FEMA's initial response was, oh, we ain't letting you take pictures of the dead people now. We ain't going to let you do that. But wait a minute, the courts had to come back and tell them that they could not issue an order to the press. They tried to do the whole American flag issue that they, remember, they wouldn't let us take pictures of the flag-draped coffins. They tried to do that here in the United States, and the courts have said you can't do that, that the reporters have a right to come in and to take pictures of the dead, because
we need
to see the pictures of the dead to know exactly what is happening.
That's exactly right.
Okay.
I'm glad that happened.
Shalita wanted to jump in right here.
I would like to respond to some of those things that Maria just was mentioning. Politics. Like she said, what's going to happen to them 5 years from now?
Mm-hmm.
What do they know? The things down in New Orleans, these people knew 35 years ago that this was going to happen. When a president refused to build our levee,
mm-hmm.
the levee is only 7 feet. When Jefferson Parish built their levee 14 feet, the president will not release the funds to New Orleans to build our levee.
What's the difference between Jefferson Parish and you? Black and white. Are we talking about black people, white people? What are we talking about?
We're talking about white people, because Jefferson Parish consists of Kenner, Metairie. Some of Metairie got water. Kenner didn't get any damage at all. No damage. What happened was the water, that's the same thing that happened with Bessie. The water wiped the Ninth Ward out. They killed all of our black people. The same thing that happened here with Katrina. They are trying to just wash us completely away from here. And I don't think it's fair because they consider us as poor black folks that's living below poverty. I mean, I don't think it's fair to us. We are U.S. citizens.
And I want to get to, did you want to say something? You need to get to the microphone. Okay, you need to get to the microphone. Go. Okay, were there people that was one of the questions that I have, because I am an attorney and I used to represent people accused of crime. What happened to the people that were in jails? What happened to them?
We don't really know, but word was that they had 700 inmates that was locked down in the Orleans Parish prison that died. We have family members that was in there. We haven't gotten in touch with none of those people yet. Every jail in the not in the United States, but we have called over 50 prisons to locate our family members, and all we getting is that they have some of the prisoners from Orleans Parish.
But it's been kind of hush-hush on the press of what happened to people that were locked up.
It is hush-hush. And they are our families, and they shouldn't take those rights from us nor them. They should be able to call us. They should be able to get in contact with us. We have no contact with those family members. So right now, the belief is that our family members that was in that jail is dead.
Are dead. Let me get to a couple of callers here. We have some folks that want to come in, call in and ask and make some comments. Caller, you have a question or comment?
Good morning, Liz.
Good morning.
And good morning to your guests. I was calling because we have a grassroots organization, and it's called Sabaye, and we're giving out food, clothing, and toiletries. And we're just putting out the call this morning to the people on your show. I've got their number, and we'll be getting in touch with them to see how we can help them. But for other people that know of people that are here that need help, from the people that we're talking to, we're finding out that the people that evacuated on their own without FEMA or the Red Cross are having problems getting the things that they need.
Mm-hmm.
So if there was some kind of way we could also do a show on that.
Talk to us
about
that.
Tell people where they need to go.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Let me give you my number.
Okay, sure.
They can contact us, and my name is Horette Parker, and they can call me at 618-271-0363, and we're working both sides of the water.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
Anyone to speak to that?
I would like to respond to that call because we have people that are still coming in. And if we went to doctor office, and if you haven't, we went to housing, and if you haven't been to Red Cross, you can't get those assistance from housing or...
Why?
Well, what they explained to us is that you need to go to Red Cross first.
Why?
In order to get those assistance.
Why?
You would have to ask them those questions.
Maria, do you know anything about that? Why?
This whole thing is ridiculous, Liz. I'm telling you, nobody knows where to go first. It's ridiculous. We found out by dealing, Reverend Petty has been dealing with this, with the Woolridge family as well as I, and what we figured out is first you go to FEMA, but if you go to FEMA, you're on the phone for an hour or two. If you can get through to FEMA, the next step is you go to the American Red Cross.
Well, Maria, I like to cut in on that.
Okay.
Because I'm one of those people that spoke with FEMA.
Mm-hmm.
The representatives through FEMA, they are rude. This fella and...
They're rude.
They are rude. Down in New Orleans, I had to have direct deposit for my job. And we live in outer cars. We live in outer boxes. We don't have any room. I asked him. I gave him my information. And I asked him, can he hold for a second till I get someone to get my routing number so if I'm approved for the funds, because he told me if I was approved for the funds.
So there is no automatic $2,000 debit card out here for y'all?
No.
Have any of y'all gotten this $2,000 debit card?
He was very rude. We haven't received any assistance from FEMA.
And if I can just jump in here with the story that comes out of the New York Daily News, what is interesting is that what FEMA is doing, the federal government apparently have put the list of their friends at the top of the list of where you go or where you give money to on their website. Last week, the FEMA bureaucrats gave prominent placement on the agency's website to Operation Blessing. Operation Blessing is a Virginia-based charity run by Pat Robertson, who just asked for the murder of Hugo Chavez. So this is a right-wing racist, a person that advocates for killing of people. His organization has top billing on the FEMA website. For anyone wishing to donate cash, the agency sites list the names and phone numbers of three groups: Red Cross, Operation Blessing, and America's Second Harvest. There you go.
That's a shame.
It is absolutely a shame. And I'll jump in right here. Tell us your name.
How you doing?
Okay. Tell us your name.
I'm Travis Scott.
And Travis, how old are you?
23.
23 years old. And you were there. You're from New Orleans?
Yes, ma'am.
What did you experience when you were coming, when you got, how you got here? Did you go through the floodwaters?
Actually, we'll try to get out before the hurricane started approaching.
Mm-hmm.
It was like raining and everything while we was leaving, but I left with friends of the family.
Mm-hmm.
And my family, I haven't heard from or talked to since the hurricane.
So what parts? So you, what part of your family made it up here? Your mother? Who made it up?
I don't know where any of my family is right now.
You don't know where your mother is? You don't know where your father is? You don't know where your aunts are?
Nobody.
So how do you feel about that? What's going through? What's it like living in a situation where you don't know where your family is?
It's just hard to explain right now.
So have you been, is there anybody to call?
No, because the phones are still out. You know, you can't get through to nobody still in that area.
So the phones are still out in New Orleans?
The ones I've been calling, like the cell phone, the house phone, because they gone in and they forcing people to leave their home.
Were you one of the people that they were forced, or did you just how did you get to any of your family?
I haven't. Yeah.
So are you, I saw you nodding and I saw you feeling it when they were talking, and when we were talking about whether or not you'd gotten the debit card with $2,000. Have you gotten anything from the Red Cross or any of those folks?
No. I don't know what the problem is or how, whatever they got going on. You know, I'm trying to get assistance. You know, they give you the runaround on everything.
What do they tell you?
Well, they give you a lot of, they're not cooperative, but, you know, they don't really, like, they don't care about what's going on.
What were you able to get out of New Orleans with?
Me?
Clothes on my back. That's it.
We're going to take a break, folks. And, Sylvia, you wanted to jump in right quick because you have to go.
Yes.
Okay, go right ahead.
This is for Sonya Scott. She's looking for her brothers and sisters. She had about 10 of them still out there somewhere, or maybe 8. I'm not sure how many. That's my nieces. I'm Sylvia Alexander. If any of those people or her sister, or anybody who's seen them or know them, they're Scott's family. What their name, Sonya? I can't think of all their names, but get Sonya's cell phone number. Her number is 504-905-0559. 504-905-0559. Call her at her cell, on her cell, if you can't get the other number that's on this thing on the recording, because she will directly get that call. Call her. Anybody who knows them, call her. Anybody who knows Sylvia Alexander, call her if you're lost. I'm not sure which one of y'all might be lost, but call. Thank y'all.
Okay. Oh yeah, and I'm Travis Scott. I'm looking for my mother, my father, Joyce Hawkins, Ronald King, you know, Renard Scott. That's my family members. The number I could be reached at, 314-256-1085. And if y'all out there, y'all know, y'all give me a call. I love y'all. I'm really worried right now, and I'm missing y'all. I really would love to hear from y'all. I know y'all are all right also.
We're taking a break. I'm Liz Brown. Stay with us.
The Republican strategy right now is to blame everything on the only two Democratic elected officials in the South, the governor of Louisiana, Lou Blanco, and the mayor of New Orleans, Ray Nagin.
Good morning, St. Louis. 33 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Mr. Good Sense Subs and Pastas. Northbound 270 at 70, look for a disabled vehicle, and then the westbound 70 ramp. Northbound 55 between Butler Hill and Holly Hills. Traffic is flowing freely this hour. Eastbound 44 between 141 and Merrimack River Bridge. Look for slow traffic. Eastbound 40 from 141 to Mason Road. That traffic is easing. Eastbound 70 at Mid River Small Drive and Blanchett. Look for no problems to report there. Eastbound 70 from Mid River Small to Blanchett Bridge. No problems there. Northbound 270 is slow on either side of 44. Westbound 270 from Newhalls Ferry to Washington Elizabeth, look for very heavy volume this hour. Eastbound 40 at Last Missouri exit, which is Broadway, look for construction having that exit closed. You can use 11th Street exit to get around that area. Eastbound 40 from Ballas to Hanley, it is stop and go this hour. Southbound 55 at Union, look for construction. Two right lanes are closed. Westbound 70 at 94, there's road construction. Left lane's closed. Westbound 40 between Hampton and Big Bend, stop and go traffic due to an earlier accident. Southbound 170 at Brentwood Boulevard and 40, look for slow traffic in the right lane. Westbound 5570 split from Tudor all the way into Poplar Street Bridge. No problems there. Westbound Kingbridge traffic at Laclede's Landing, looks for that traffic to start breaking up this hour. Shoto at Grand, look for those lights not to be working this hour. And Parker at Waterford, there's an injury accident, so use caution as you roll up to that area. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Mr. Good Sense Subs and Pastas. Mr. Good Sense is now serving hot ones. Try a hot roast beef, cheddar, hot pastrami and Swiss, or a hot Philly Jack steak sub. Mr. Good Sense Subs and Pastas, home of the hot ones, served hot ones on at all 14 locations. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today. Tomorrow and Wednesday, mostly sunny today, a high in the lower 90s. This evening, mostly clear with a low around 70. Tuesday, partly cloudy with a high in the lower 90s. Tuesday evening, look forward to showers and thunderstorms likely with a low around 70. And then on Wednesday, partly sunny skies, scattered showers, high in the upper 80s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 74 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 73. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. That's up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the top of the 9 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
At Halloween, it's all about the scare, the fright, the horror. For the most scare anywhere, come to Hollow Weekends at Worlds of Fun every weekend from September 24th through October 30th. We have five times the, and five times more, and you still get all of it. Hollow Weekends has five extreme haunts. Camp Gonna Get You With Your Hatchet, Carnival of Carnivorous Clowns, The Lore of the Vampire, The Fright Zone, and The New Dominion of Doom. Plus, all our coasters for one low price, so you can scare the
Jesus
out of yourself over and over again. One ticket, unlimited thrills. Hollow Weekends at Worlds of Fun. We've got the haunt that you want. Sponsored by Kansas City area Toyota dealers. Visit worldsoffun.com to book your reservation at the new Worlds of Fun Village Resort.
Before you go to the movies, go to Radio Free St. Louis. Find out what's worth seeing and what's not worth the bother. Join Dave Lenahan and Mark Glass for What's Good New at the Movies, a regular feature of Today's Solutions, Friday afternoons at 4:10 on Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU. Also online at www.blacktie-stlewis.com.
For the past several years, you've heard WGNU's community calendar of events going on in and around the area. Ever wonder where the information comes from? The majority of it comes from our listening audience. If your nonprofit organization would like help promoting its event and ongoing operations free of charge, send all necessary information to calendar@wgnu.net. Please send the correspondence 2 weeks prior to any events. WGNU reserves the right to edit or reject submissions for reasons of time and content.
A struggle for fairness on the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
There's a new world coming, and it's just around the bend.
I'm heading down there right now. I'm looking forward to talking to the people on the ground. Looking forward to my trip down there. Looking forward to thanking those on the ground and looking forward to assure people.
I'm not looking forward to this trip. I got a feel for it when I flew over before.
And you can hear it if you try. And it's growing stronger with every day that passes by. Yeah.
Welcome back, welcome back. The voice you heard, of course, was the voice of George W. Bush saying, I'm looking forward to go into New Orleans. It's like he planned on going down to the quarter, like he getting ready to go down there and do some partying. I'm here talking with families that have been displaced from New Orleans. I also have on the phone State Representative Maria Chappelle Nadal, who has been helping wade through this red tape and help and expose what is not out there, how unprepared the state is, and in many respects, how callous the state's response is to the needs of the people that are coming to our cities. Maria, it's like I know how much the state has reached out in terms of Bosnian folks coming here and Bosnian, actual Bosnian refugees, the assistance that they have given. And of course, people should get assistance that are coming to this country. But we have United States citizens, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. It's just, it's really interesting how we're responding. The true colors have definitely class and race issues are coming up. All you have to do is look at the images of the TV. But, you know, as an elected official, as a human being, we have to be prepared. It is such a disgrace that everyone's scrambling. And, you know, I got to really hand it to all the churches and the clergy that have come out and they're organizing different events. The problem I'm seeing, even though all of these things are good efforts at the grassroots, they're overkill because we don't have the people. We don't have the people. You know, it's up to the governor to say, yes, bring in evacuees from the Gulf. Today we're getting about 500, but we could have gotten that 500 or we could have gotten 2,000 a week ago. It's up to the governor to say, welcome here to Missouri. Let's start taking action and helping you out.
Well, what are the understories that is going on in the New Orleans issue and what has happened in New Orleans is the displacement and the elimination, if you will, of a Democratic base. And we're talking about of a Democratic senator. There are politics that are going into this, and perhaps
yes,
it's politics also that is causing a Republican, a barely elected Republican governor of the state of Missouri, to resist the influx of Democratic voters into the state of Missouri.
Absolutely.
So he would overlook
me. Let me tell you, one of the reasons why I am just, whoever, I'm welcoming them and just loving them to death is because the Senate district, Senator Dianne Bejois, her entire district is gone. And I looked at my district. I look at my district all the time. And I cannot imagine all of those people in my community, which I've known all my life, gone, displaced. People who've been there for generations after generations. And that's why, you know, I'm saying, come on in. You're part of Dianne Bejois' district. You're going to be part of mine. But the Republicans like this.
Mm-hmm.
They like, on the end of Louisiana, you know, that Landrieu race was very close. That she's a Democrat, but they had a Republican. And it took every single effort to make sure she was in. And I'm thinking the Republican Party here, they don't want any of the evacuees to come to Missouri because, you know, we have so many 50-50 districts. And wouldn't it be nice, I'm biased because I'm a Democrat, I'd love it for evacuees to move into these 50-50 districts and get out some of these draconian Republicans. I'm all for it. But it should, the way we respond should not be political. This is a humanitarian effort. This is our family. I told the WashU kids the other day, you know, you need to put race aside. We all have the same DNA. It's not about race. It's about helping your brother and your sister.
Well, actually, what it is an opportunity for people to put their actions where their mouths are. You say that it's not about race. You say that this is not about race. Then tell me why the governor of a state would look American citizens that have lost everything, that don't have family members, have lost everything that matters to them and everything that keeps you sane and keeps you whole, he can look in the face and say, pitch a tent out in the woods and I'll let you stay there for about 2 weeks.
Well, you know what? That is true. That is true. I like what Obama said the other day. I can't really paraphrase it, but Obama's reaction to the whole thing is really awesome.
Well, wait a minute. And we have some of those words of Obama. I want Obama to, because Obama was responding to what Mr. West said, what Kanye West said about George W. Bush doesn't care about black people. And here's what Obama had to say to that.
Kanye West expressed a great deal of anguish that exists in the African-American community. I think that the entire country felt shame about what had happened. This other America somehow was not on people's radar screen. And that, I think, does have to do with a historic indifference on the part of government towards the plight of those who are disproportionately African American.
And that those were the words of Senator Barack Obama. And we have someone down here someone in the studio, because I want to get some male voices in here too, of this family that has been displaced and brought here to Missouri, not because Governor Blunt asked for them, or not because he wants them to pitch a tent out in the woods, but because they came here because they had family here. Talk to us about, tell us your name and tell us how you got here and the family that you separated from.
I'm Devin Washington. I said about 2 days ago, I was trying to get to St. Louis, Missouri from Baton Rouge, and I called Red Cross to see if they could help. And they told me that they was only working with people in that area, so I had to come out of my own pocket to, you know.
What do you mean they were only working with people in what area?
In the Baton Rouge area, trying to find their people.
Wait a minute. They're not working with people in New Orleans area?
Yeah. Only the people that's in the shelters, they're from New Orleans. They were only working with them trying to find their families.
So what did they tell you to do?
I guess I had to get that at my own expense. That's what they told me, that they couldn't help me with that.
And I want to keep telling us about, so the Red Cross said, catch as catch can. Do what you got to do.
No, Red Cross, they gave me a number to call that helps you find your family. When I called them, that's what they told them.
So what did you do?
I gathered up the little money I had so I can get to my son, get there and see him, because I hadn't seen him in 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Well, since the hurricane, so I had to see him one way or another. And whatever the expense was, I was willing to come up with.
So where was your son?
In St. Louis.
So you got them. So who got your son here?
Oh, he came with his immediate family.
So how did you get to St. Louis?
I had to take a 25-hour bus ride.
And you had to pay for it yourself.
Yeah.
What did you lose in Katrina?
I lost basically everything.
Your house?
House, car.
Your job?
Yeah, my job, everything.
So did you leave anybody behind when you came up here?
I had two friends behind, but they're all right now. One's in St. Louis and one's in Donaldsonville.
We're going to take a break, folks. I am talking to a family that has been displaced that is here in St. Louis. And again, if you can, Shalito, if you can give the phone number out where people can help and reach out and support your family's efforts to stay together.
The phone number again is area code 314-256-1085, and that is at Wilma's Chestnut at 1077 Midland Boulevard in University City. Again, the number is area code 314-256-1085.
And this is Liz Brown. We're going to take a break. 454-0400 is my phone number. We'll get to some of your calls when we get back. And the long distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. Email is revolution@lizbrown.com. Get to us.
The failure of the levees in New Orleans shows us how vulnerable our nation's critical infrastructure is. Had it been a terrorist bomb at the levee that caused the breach instead of a hurricane, the result in that city would have been the same.
Everyone got their own opinion.
Why do you listen to WGNU? Hi, I'm Charles Gehr, Program Director of Radio Free St. Louis, and your answer could make you a winner. Tell us why in a postcard or email of 100 words or less. We'll draw one entry each Monday through Friday during September as part of today's Solutions with Dave Lenahan. You could win some cool stuff from your friends at AM 920, and we all win because your comments will help make Radio Free St. Louis even better. Send a postcard to Why Do You Listen? WGNU 265 Union Boulevard, St. Louis, Missouri 63108, or email me at cgeer@wgnu.net. Include Why Do You Listen in your subject line. Drawings begin Thursday, September 1st and Friday, September 30th. One entry per address, one prize per family, please. WGNU employees, sponsors, and affiliates, including immediate families, are not eligible. No substitution of prizes. All decisions are final. Tell us why you listen, and thanks for listening to Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU, and online at WGNU.net.
This is your wake-up call, global news update. Dateline, New York. The United Nations has issued a new report on global inequity. That study shows that parts of the United States are as poor as third world countries. The Gulf Coast disaster has laid bare the fact that there is a huge racial and economic divide here in the United States, which is supposed to be the richest nation on the planet. And Dateline Laredo, Texas. A convoy from the Mexican Army crossed the border into the United States on Thursday, bringing with it water treatment plants and mobile kitchens that can feed 7,000 people a day. The Mexican Army was bound for San Antonio to bring help to the victims of Hurricane Katrina. In the past, Mexico has sent disaster relief aid missions to other countries in Latin America, but never to the United States. Military engineers, doctors, and nurses were among those in the convoy. The Mexican government had already sent a Navy ship towards the coast of Mississippi with rescue vehicles and helicopters to assist in the recovery efforts. This is your wake-up call, global news update.
Hi, I'm Marshall Falk of the St. Louis Rams. Hurricane Katrina has devastated Louisiana, Mississippi, Florida, and Alabama, but the real struggle has just begun. Hundreds of thousands have been forced from their homes, and many are without food, clean water, and shelter. But you can help. Don't sit on the sidelines. The victims of Hurricane Katrina need your support. Join the team and donate by visiting RedCrossSTL.org or by calling 1-800-HELP-NOW.
Help the victims of Hurricane Katrina and thousands of other disasters across the country each year. Call 1-800-HELP-NOW or visit theredcross.org today. Together, we can save a life.
Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU, is your station for talk radio with a difference. Call now for your turn on the air. The numbers are 314-454-0400 or toll-free 1-877-920-WGNU. Individual results.
It's the information you need to know about but can't find anywhere else on the dial. The award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Positive can-do attitude. It's tremendously heartwarming and impressive when you get a chance to see the folks that are out there actually directly affected by this terrible tragedy and now doing such a phenomenal job of recovering from it.
Liz Brown, wake up call. We have much to talk about, much to do, much business to tend to. We're talking with a family of about 40 members that have managed to get here by the grace of God on a prayer and no money on gasoline, with gasoline $5 a gallon coming here from New Orleans. And Shalita, you're talking to us. What are the needs that your family has?
Our needs are housing. We are right now overwhelmed with clothing. We are overwhelmed with food, and we appreciate all of these things that St. Louis community is helping us with. We are appreciative to meet someone like Pastor Petty and Maria Chaper, state representative of St. Louis. We are we are in need of clothing and assistance. We went to family service, and we have one lady. She's a social worker. She's all on our back about our addresses. Our addresses is in New Orleans. Right now, my address is HOMELESS. That's my address, because I'm homeless as of Katrina.
And talk to us about some of the challenges that you've been facing with the housing issue.
We have made phone calls out to landlords where, when I went to St. Patrick's, I spoke with someone to get their assistance, and he explained to me that it would take him 2 weeks before he can do anything, because they had landlords calling in with available housing. But it will take him 2 weeks before he can do anything for me.
But you're also facing some gouging issues, too.
We are facing the issues where we will call, and the houses is in the newspaper at one price. But when you call those landlords,
and they know that you're from Louisiana,
and they find out that we are Katrina victims, they go up on the rent. When they find out that, I mean, we need help. We need housing. We are all in this one area together. We all are family. We are a very close family, but we all are used to being in our own housing.
And Maria, what about this gouging of people? Maria?
Yes?
What about the gouging issue?
Well, it's just awful. I've talked to the Woolridge family about gouging, and states have responded differently. I remember a couple years ago, well, actually it was 9/11, the last time in Missouri when they tried to price gouge, and luckily we had Jay Nixon who responded to that.
Well, is Jay Nixon responding to these housing gouging issues that are going on with this family?
You know, that's what we have to look at. Because this is the first time I've heard about that, and if that's what's happening, then we need a call, and I will call Jay Nixon's office today. This is the first time that I heard about that. What we're doing in our community is calling landlords to say, hey, if it's usually $800 a month for rental price, can you go down?
And I wonder if those landlords and people that are gouging are hearing about those $2,000 debit cards and all
exactly.
the money that the Red Cross is getting.
Come to me about that. They put their brow up when they say, oh, yeah, they're going to get some money so that they can pay out. These are people who have nothing.
Nothing.
They're trying to take advantage of that.
Let me get to some of the callers here. Shelley, you have a call. You have a question or comment? Shelley. Let me get to this caller. Caller.
Ms. Brown, welcome back.
Thank you.
I enjoy your show. I'm glad you kept up with this while you were on your vacation, Ms. Brown. Ms. Brown, I thought it was horrible, and I hope your guests can respond to this one. There was a bridge going to Baton Rouge, I heard on your news break, Ms. Brown. They closed the bridge off. They didn't want none of the people from New Orleans to come over there. The sheriff said he didn't want no loot in this town. He said he didn't have no water or food. They shot up in the air, Ms. Brown, to keep them from coming across the bridge.
Well, they say they shot up in the air. Yeah, we don't know where they shot.
Right, Ms. Brown. Ms. Brown, this has to do with race and class. We can't deny this anymore, Ms. Brown. This has to do with race and class. And little boy, Blunt, he could care nothing less. He cares more about stem cell research and Mayor Francis Slay, the sorry mayor we have. He cares nothing about black issues. Just ask Kenny Jones about him. But like I said, Ms. Brown, this tragedy has opened up many eyes. We have to deal with poor, poverty people. And like I said, Bush would rather sit on Trent Lott's porch when he gets his house sitting in a rocking chair. Like I said, this is all a big force, Ms.
Thank
Brown.
Thank you for your
we
call.
We have to deal with this. Thank you.
Thank you. I'm going to take another call. Car phone.
Hi, Liz. How are you doing today?
I'm outstanding.
That's good. I've been watching the news a lot, and I've seen, like, some about those debit cards that they were giving out.
Yes.
One man was saying how frustrated he is because he'd go one spot to get a debit card, and they'll send him to another spot. Well, when he got to the other spot, they were like, I'm not doing it anymore, and they said the reason they weren't doing it anymore is because it was costing too much to pay the people who were working to issue out the debit card.
Ain't that some stuff? Thanks for your call. And that leads me to another story that's on the front page of the paper out of the Associated Press, that Halliburton and their friends are the first people in line for the contracts for the rebuilding of New Orleans. So they don't have money or people to hand out debit cards of $2,000, but they certainly have hooked up Halliburton, Kellogg, Brown, and Root. They've gotten one of the first bids to rebuild New Orleans. So could you do us a favor and tell us your number again, please?
The number we can be reached at is area code 314-256-1085. Again, that number is area code 314-256-1085.
And Maria, what do you tell people to do in terms of getting involved in helping people during this crisis?
Well, be very specific. Be coordinated. I mean, understand the process. Who do you go to first? Who do you go to second? And if there are any problems, if someone disrespects an evacuee, let the person who's organizing know that happened last week, and I had a word with some of the people who were disrespecting the family that we've adopted. And just be coordinated. Don't do the same effort. Because there's a lot of mismatch. Be very specific. Have sizes of shoes and clothing. Do you need Pampers? What size Pampers do you need? What kind of housing? How many people are in a household? What are the special needs of your children? Just be very specific. It's one thing to have food, clothing, and your toiletries, but it's another thing to try to deal with some of these housing issues, which is the biggest hurdle. And what we're trying to do right now is trying to find housing. So I would just suggest to everyone, don't overlap.
And that has got to be the last word. Maria Chappelle Nadal, stay with us. We're going to be back. My name's Liz Brown. We're taking a break at the top of the hour. Stay with us.
WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis. 920 on your AM dial.
President Bush is getting a street-by-street tour of the destruction in the city.
Relief operations are still struggling with housing for survivors and for the hundreds of first responders who've arrived here in New Orleans. President Bush is being told at a morning briefing that the cruise ship, now docked alongside this warship, will today become housing for New York firefighters and police.
ABC's Ann Compton traveling with the president. Mr. Bush will also tour Gulfport, Mississippi today. 2 weeks after Hurricane Katrina came ashore, forecasters are genuinely worried about Hurricane Ophelia, wandering slowly about 260 miles south-southwest of Cape Hatteras. ABC's Steve Osunsami in Atlantic Beach, North Carolina, says 200 National Guard soldiers are taking up positions just in case.
There is the worry that this could dump rain, that this storm could sit over this section of North Carolina and South Carolina and just pour torrents of rain. That would make this destructive.
A mandatory evacuation order is in effect for non-residents of the Outer Banks of North Carolina. The Senate Judiciary Committee convenes in 2 hours to begin confirmation hearings for Chief Justice nominee John Roberts. The questions begin tomorrow, and Court TV's Catherine Cryer tells us Judge Roberts may choose to sidestep some direct answers.
What Judge Roberts may say to many of the pointed questions people would like answered is simply that he cannot give an advisory opinion on some issue that might come before the court.
So, committee members and Judge Roberts read their opening statements today. A wedge of Americana opened today off mainland China. Hong Kong Disneyland. Disney's the parent company of ABC News. This is ABC News.
All your life you've been told to
aim higher.
But if you have high cholesterol, your doctor may tell you to
aim lower.
And if diet and exercise aren't enough, ask about prescription Crestor. Crestor with Suvastatin Calcium. The 10 milligram dose of Crestor along with diet can lower bad cholesterol by up to 52%. That's compared to 7% with placebo. Your results may vary. Crestor has not been shown to prevent heart disease or heart attacks. Crestor is not for everyone, including people with liver disease and women who are nursing, pregnant, or may become pregnant. Simple blood tests are needed to check for liver problems. Tell your doctor about other medications you're taking, or if you experience muscle pain or weakness, as they may be a sign of serious side effects. See our ad in Ladies Home Journal, or for more information, call 1-800-CRESTOR, or visit us at Crestor.com. There you'll also learn how AstraZeneca may be able to help if you can't afford your medications. If high cholesterol has your doctor saying,
aim lower
with Crestor.
Veteran ABC sportscaster Chris Schenkel has died.
As nice as he sounded on the air, that's how nice he was in person. Nearly 60 years as a sportscaster, and nearly 40 of those with ABC TV. Chris Schenkel died after a long battle with emphysema at the age of 82. Schenkel broadcast every major sport during a career which started back home in Indiana after he fought in World War II. For many years, he was the standard by which other broadcasters were judged. Winner of an Emmy Lifetime Achievement Award and a member of three different halls of fame, Chris Schenkel was a role model. John Clossy, ABC News, New York.
Crude oil prices slipped below $64 a barrel today, with traders feeling more confident about hurricane recovery along the Gulf Coast. And talk about awful timing. Tomorrow, voters in Oklahoma will cast ballots on a referendum item approved last year, whether to raise the gas tax by a nickel a gallon and 8 cents for diesel. Clarissa Douglas, ABC News.
Good morning, St. Louis. 4 minutes after the hour of 9 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's news, traffic, and weather. This hour's news is sponsored by Chevrolet. In the news in your 9 o'clock hour, 4 years after the 9/11 attacks, Missouri Senator Kit Bond says Al-Qaeda is planning more strikes. He says, we just cannot play defense against terrorists.
We have to collect more and better information. We have to get information on the location and activities of the next attack that's being planned. And unless we do a good job of that, we cannot have a good chance of stopping the next major terrorist attack on the United States.
Bond says a robust Patriot Act is part of warding off future attacks. He adds that soft targets like mass transit systems must be better protected from terrorism, as illustrated by the recent attacks in London. One surviving victim is recovering after a rare homicide in Lebanon, Illinois. Authorities say 63-year-old Donald Fleming fatally shot his ex-wife, 47-year-old Peggy Fleming, and wounded her mother Thursday evening before killing himself. Lebanon Police Chief Doug Lieber says there's a history of domestic incidents between the couple.
This is an ongoing divorce situation where Peggy had moved out, had an apartment in St. Louis. She was back here packing her belongings from the house they once owned together when they were married. That's when he arrived on scene and saw what was happening and basically snapped.
Peggy Fleming's 79-year-old mother, Dorothy Watson, was critically wounded and taken to an area hospital. This is believed to be the first murder in Lebanon in more than 15 years. A deadly accident in Lincoln County over the weekend is being investigated. Authorities say 22-year-old Terrence Bush was killed early yesterday morning when his car went off the roadway along Highway 79 and Highway 47 and overturned. The St. Louis man was ejected from his vehicle. He wasn't wearing a seatbelt. The former executive of Support Dogs Incorporated will spend 2 years in federal prison for embezzlement. 49-year-old Robert Hansen of St. Peter's was charged on Friday after he pled guilty in June to embezzling more than $400,000 from the organization. Hansen's reportedly wrote checks on Support Dogs operating accounts for his own personal use from January 1999 to January 2004. And finally this hour, a local animal shelter is lending a helping hand to Hurricane Katrina relief efforts. Members of Stray Rescue of St. Louis are heading to the Gulf Coast this morning to bring supplies to pets left behind by hurricane survivors. Donations to help these animals can be sent to Stray Rescue St. Louis, 1463 South 18th Street, St. Louis, Missouri, 63104. This hour's news has been sponsored by Chevrolet. Now get Chevrolet's employee pricing for everyone on 06 full-size trucks. That's the Chevy Total Value Promise. Excludes medium-duty trucks. See participating dealer for details. Take delivery by 9/30/05, September 30th of 05. 7 minutes after the hour of 9 o'clock now, let's take a look at your WGNU traffic. This hour's traffic is sponsored by National City Bank. Westbound 40 between Clayton and Warson, a disabled vehicle in the right lane is blocked and the exit ramp. Motorist assist are on the scene right now with it. Northbound 55 between Rivas Barracks and Lafayette, no problems to report. Eastbound 44 from the Chrysler plant all the way to Merrimack River Bridge. That traffic is easing this hour. Eastbound 70 from 370 to Blanchett Bridge is moving steadily this hour. Northbound 270 at 44 is returned back to normal. Westbound 270 from Riverview all the way into New Florissant Road. You can expect normal traffic in your 9 a.m. commute. Eastbound 40 at the last Missouri exit. That's the Broadway exit. Look for construction work. That exit is closed. You can use 11th Street to go around that area. Eastbound 40 between Spady and Big Bend. Look for stop-and-go traffic still. Southbound 55 at Union. There's construction work on two right lanes are closed this hour. Westbound 70 at 94. There's road construction. Left lane is closed. Westbound 40 between Clayton Skinker and Big Bend. Slow traffic due to an earlier accident. Westbound 70 at Blanchette Bridge is moving slowly through. Or there's slow-moving maintenance vehicles in the right lane is closed this hour. Westbound 5570 split at the PSB looks good. Westbound Kingbridge traffic from Laclede's Landing, everything seems to be moving well this hour. Shodo at Grand Boulevard, those traffic lights are not working. And Lindell at Vandeventer, there's a report of an injury accident. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by National City Bank. National City Bank makes managing your finances easy by giving you free checking with unlimited transactions, extensive retirement planning, and more. National City, banking made simple for lives that are not. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Wednesday. Mostly sunny today, a high in the lower 90s this evening, mostly clear, with a low around 70. Moving on to Tuesday, partly cloudy skies with a high in the lower 90s. Tuesday evening, showers and thunderstorms are likely with a low around 70. Then moving on to Wednesday, partly sunny skies, another chance for showers and thunderstorms. The high should be in the upper 80s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, under sunny skies with haze, we have 75 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 74 degrees and haze as well. Stay tuned for another hour of the award-winning wake-up call with your host, Liz Brown. She's up next. We'll take another look at your news and your weather in the 10 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
The Healthy Family, presented by the Missouri Division of Alcohol and Drug Abuse, reminding you to keep alcohol out of the hands of kids. Learn more at MissouriPrevention.org.
If you discover your child has a wart, don't panic. Besides their unpleasant appearance, common warts are harmless and non-cancerous. The most common warts among children are rough and grayish-brown in color. They tend to pop up on the hands, but they can appear anywhere on the body. They're caused by the human papillomavirus, or HPV. There are more than 100 variations of the virus. They each get into the body in the same way, through broken skin. Since kids get cuts and scrapes more often than adults, it makes sense that they would have more warts. Once in the body, HPV will cause the skin in that area to grow at a much faster than normal pace, and that's how a wart develops. Common warts will usually go away on their own if you have the patience to wait them out. If not, there are over-the-counter medicines that will help speed the removal process, or they can be frozen off by a doctor. I'm Julie Anderson with The Healthy Family.
I am a child.
I am an adult.
I am 10 years old.
I am 38 next week.
I'm in the fourth grade.
I sell financial planning services.
I found out that trees breathe, too.
I make PowerPoint presentations.
I play football every day at 3:30 after school.
I also have this incredible young friend.
I love my mom and my dad. And tomorrow, I get to see Rick. He's my friend, too.
I am a mentor to a young man named Marquis.
Volunteer to help a young child do better in school. Mentor St. Louis, the largest volunteer organization in the St. Louis public schools, needs volunteer mentors. Go to mentorstlouis.org or call 314-531-2570 and let something wonderful happen.
Ricky and me are going to the zoo tomorrow.
Marquis always wants to see the monkeys.
They're not monkeys. They're apes. Monkeys have tails.
I think I'm hearing red.
And I say to everybody, if we can put a million people, a million soldiers in Afghanistan and Iraq, you could definitely put forth the same effort towards New Orleans and Mississippi and try to serve those people.
Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of them. See, the thing is, people don't know where to go now. They're not being told where to go. 2 days ago, I was on that same bridge at exit 235 saying there were thousands of people there then who didn't know where to go. They went to the Superdome. They were told no. The federal government finally stepped up and said, no, don't go to the Superdome. But they weren't told where to go. So they sit there. It may be because they were worried about chaos in other places if too many people were gathered. There's just no answer to that question. It's one of the first stories I've ever covered where questions as simple as, why do the people on the easily accessible bridge not get food and water and don't even get instructions of where to go to get food and water and medical attention?
Me and Juvenile was talking about, you know, the people in the projects. I live in the Cali, though. They was living in Magno. We never seen each other. We never bump heads. I mean, we never even sit down in the room. I mean, so now people are going to be in a Superdome. They're going to be in the Astrodome. From the Magnolia, the Calio, the Melphamine, somebody going to need to help these people. And I think that with the situation that we could bring forward, I started a team rescue with me and my wife, Romeo, doing stuff for the kids, my wife doing stuff for the women, because they need a lot of personal things that the women need, the kids need, Pampers. So we urging all you corporations to come together, and everybody from New Orleans is not ignorant. So when you look on TV and you see the different things, see the looters, you see people shooting, those people are panicking. Those people, when they look out, we've never seen that much water, especially around the Superdome. You got people committing suicide. But those people, I mean, I'll be honest with you. Juvenile, I can tell you, Baby from Cash Money is my first time ever speaking to him. So we definitely coming together. We're going to start a record. We're going to try to do a tour. We're going to try to do something. So I think a lot of those people are just panicking. Can't judge the city by the people that are panicking.
You have to realize that everything that you do in this country is political. Every move you make is political, and every move that white people or the ruling class makes against black people is political.
You call him right now, and you call the governor, and you tell him to delegate the powers that they have to the mayor of New Orleans, and we'll get this damn thing fixed.
You know you're right, Mayor.
It's politics, man, and they're playing games, and they're spinning. They're out there spinning for the cameras.
But can't they just... If nothing else, look at 25% of their energy coming from the state is not flowing through the pipelines. We're on the verge of anarchy. Can't they understand that they're, if nothing else, they're going to be hurt politically?
I don't know what they're doing. I mean, the air conditioning must be good because I haven't had any in 5 days. And maybe there's some smoke coming out of the air conditioning units that's clogging some folks, their vision.
Have you talked with the president?
I've talked directly with the president. I've talked to the head of the Homeland Security. I've talked to everybody under the sun. I've been out there, man. I flew these helicopters, been in the crowds, talking to people, crying, don't know where their relatives are. I've done it all, man. And I tell you, man, Garland, I keep hearing that it's coming. This is coming, that is coming. And my answer to that today is BS. Where is the beast?
Bring it down, man.
Because there is no beef in this city. There's no beef anywhere in southeast Louisiana. And these goddamn ships that are coming, I don't see them.
You have to realize that everything that you do in this country is political. Every move you make is political. And every move that white people or the ruling class makes against black people is political.
There's no earthly answer that anyone can understand why these people, after 6 days, are still in this filthy, filthy, miserable convention center. Why are they still here? There's the freeway here. I tell you what I would have done. I would say, let them walk out of here. Let them walk away from the filth. Let them walk away from the devastation. Let them walk away from the dead bodies in here. They say they're on the second floor in the freeze. I've been on the first floor. It's like Willowbrook in there. I'm telling you, Sean and Alan, this is, you cannot deny that it's 6 days since this natural disaster befell New Orleans. What has happened? bust out of here. They're all still here. Why is that? God, I wish I knew. I wish someone could tell me. Where are the buses? Where are the buses?
I can tell you. I can tell you. This is Liz Brown. This is the wake-up call. We are talking about Katrina. We're talking with real-life victims of Katrina. We're talking about what they are experiencing as a result of the Katrina hurricane and the Katrina aftermath and the Katrina flood and the Katrina response. This is Liz Brown, the wake-up call. My number here is 454-0400. The long-distance number is 1-877-920-9468. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. Our email address is revolution@lizbrown.com. That's LIZZBrown.com. Don't forget, we are broadcast on the World Wide Web from Xenia to Zimbabwe, all across the world at www.wgnu.net. We are archived daily at whiterosesociety.org. You need to get up. You need to get to us. We have much to talk about, many conversations to have. There's just madness that is going on as a result of the Katrina catastrophe. There is a story that I want to share with you before we get back to some of our guests, a story about the fact that flood survivors were being handcuffed as evacuations began. I'm looking at a photograph of armed police handcuffing hurricane survivors who refused to leave their homes. As many as 10,000 people have stayed put in the devastated city. And we have police officers handcuffing people to get them out of the city. We also have a story coming out of Mexico, out of Germany, that a German plane flying in supplies was turned away at the airfield as it tried to bring in food and water and sustenance to the people in Louisiana, turned away at the airport. A German plane carrying 15 tons of military rations for survivors was turned away. That's what authorities said on Saturday. The spokesman, speaking on the condition of anonymity, declined to comment on a report in the German news magazine Der Spiegel that U.S. authorities had refused delivery on the grounds that the NATO military rations could carry mad cow disease. So my question is, if y'all are concerned about mad cow disease and military rations, does that mean you're not feeding our soldiers? Madness. True madness. A plane turned away. We have with us, joining us from Jefferson City, State Representative Maria Chappelle Nadal, talking about what she has done and what she has confronted in her efforts to confront the bureaucracy here in the state of Missouri to get help to people. Maria?
Yes.
How many people do we have? Do we know how many people that we have coming into Missouri from the Gulf Coast area?
Well, there's supposed to be 500 today, and the thing you have to remember about that number is they're going through some of these agencies, either FEMA or some other groups, but there are countless people who are coming into St. Louis and Kansas City who are either taking bus rides, like the gentleman said earlier, hitching rides with other people, coming on church buses, so they're other people who are unaccounted for and who are not part of the system, and that goes back to the whole coordination effort when we're trying to help these families. There are some people who can be tracked and others who cannot be tracked.
And I do want to underscore just the flavor of the state of Missouri. Issues in the state of Missouri turn on race, they turn on class, and they turn on politics as well. Just the idea that the state of Missouri was considering housing people from the evacuees at Gumbo makes you want to throw something at your television set.
When you don't have anything, when you have one pair of clothes, you don't have extra pair of underwear, when you lost your house you've been living in for 40 years, house that your parents were in, and then someone says, welcome to our park, our state park, and you can stay here for over 2 weeks.
No, you can pitch a tent.
Or a tent, or come to a jail. That doesn't make me feel welcomed. We don't do that to our brothers and sisters. That's ridiculous.
Talk to us, and Shalita, talk to us about the food cards that you have received.
Well, we went down to Red Cross. First of all, we was going to be turned around until my uncle begged and pleaded them not to turn us away.
Why was Red Cross going to turn you away?
Because you had appointments to be there. And it's so many of us in this two-bedroom home with this one bathroom. And some of us had doctor's appointments that Maria got set up for us. And by it being so many, we was trying to get those things taken care of as well as going to Red Cross. Well, we was maybe 15, 20 minutes late getting to Red Cross, and they didn't see our name on the list, first of all. So this receptionist, she took the priority to get up and go out in the back and look for the list with our names on it. Once she found it, they told us we had an appointment for this time, and they were about to close, and they couldn't accept us. My uncle begged and pleaded and asked them not to turn us away. He went to the back. He spoke with someone. They said, okay, fine. Myself and my mom, we hadn't had anything to eat all day long. Our entire family. My mom, my aunt, my cousin, they are diabetics. One gentleman, we asked him where was the snack room. And he showed us to a snack room. And we went in this room, and they had sandwiches, they had chips, drinks, all these kind of things. So we thinking that this is for the people that's coming to get the assistance from Red Cross. Well, turned out to be it wasn't. It was for the Red Cross volunteer workers, which we was led to that room. And we was actually put out of that room. They gave us refreshments, a muffin.
So how do you suppose Red Cross paid for those sandwiches that they had for their relief workers?
With the donations that they pick up, I am extremely, no one won't.
And this, what Red Cross office was this? Do you remember?
No.
That was here in St.
Louis. It was here in St. Louis. It was here in St. Louis.
Now, did they eventually give you a food card? Did they give you...
They assist us with a card. Mm-hmm. But on that card, you got, for a family of four, you got $115 to feed for 1 week. Imagine a family of four, a 19-year-old, a 17-year-old, a 14-year-old, and their mom eating off of $115 for a week.
For 7 days.
I mean, we haven't, myself, I have a deduction out of my payroll check. Well, I had a deduction out of my payroll check every pay period to United Way. I haven't received any assistance from United Way. Where are those donations that we give?
And we're going to take some of our callers here. Jimmy, you have a question or comment? Good morning, Jimmy.
Hi, good morning. I got a suggestion. You know, the people that if they could get cell phones and use their home number and maybe, you know, that 504, and maybe they can get in contact with their family members. If their family members know you'd say our home numbers and things like that.
Okay, we'll put that number out again.
You know, I was just saying if they could get cell phones, if every member could get a cell phone and get that and put their home phone, use their home phone, and the families that they are looking for just have them to dial their home phone, and maybe they can find them.
That's a good suggestion. Thanks for your call.
Okay, and I got four members over from the Katrina's too over my house staying.
And what has their experience been like, Jimmy, in trying to get help and services?
Well, I got one lady. She's calling. It seems like she's getting everything taken care of. She's okay, but they was transferred to Atlanta. Then my sister came with them, and I sent them bus fare and everything to come down here.
Have they been trying to get services through different vendors here in the city of St. Louis?
Right. She had been calling on the phone, but I had she had been calling on the phone, and she got appointments and things to go to.
Okay. Well, let us know how the appointments work out.
Okay.
All right.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. Caller.
Yes, Liz.
Yes.
I have a comment. I have tried to adopt a family, and I've gone through the bureaucratic organizations, Red Cross, Catholic Charities, have gotten nowhere. I only have a basement. It's finished, but I'm willing to put up a few people for as long as they need to.
All right. Well, tell you what, I'm going to put you on hold, and unless you want to give your information out over the radio,
No, I can't because I have a foster daughter.
Okay. Well, then let me put you on hold. I'm going to have Howard get your information, okay?
Okay.
And we're going to get it to them, okay?
Okay.
All right. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. Car phone. Let me do this. Here we go. Car phone. Good morning.
How you doing, Ms. Rowe?
I am fine.
Okay, I want to tell you something about a lot of these charitable organizations. A lot of them are set up not to help people, but to rip the populace off. And if you look at the record of a Red Cross or a United Way or a lot of these other organizations, you'll find out that they don't really care about the people. All they're in this world is for the money. You have a nice day.
All right. Thanks for your call. And Maria, I am not trying to turn this into an opportunity to bash an organization or anything like that, but the fact of the matter is these are the times that demonstrate whether these organizations are up to what they say that they're going to do.
Well, that's exactly right, Liz, and I don't want to bash them either. You know, when I told you we were in a meeting, and a lot of people were around the table and they were talking about what ought to be, and I was the only one. Hey, I have a real life family here. This is what we are actually dealing with, and you know, I kind of lost my temper, but with rightfully so, because it is kind of disorganized. And anybody who does have a good experience, wonderful. But across the board, I mean, we've been coming into roadblocks. People have been mistreated. They haven't been treated with full respect.
And I'm listening to what Shalita has to say about going into Red Cross with a family that hasn't eaten in a day, and the Red Cross running them out of a room where there's food there for their workers. Mm-hmm. And the place is getting ready to close down. They said that they were getting ready to close, so the food is the food that's left at the end of the day, and the priority is to the workers of Red Cross as opposed to the people, because they're going to go home to their homes. They have a home. They have a city to still live in.
Yeah.
And you have these people that came from, they don't have any homes, they don't have a city, they don't have clothes, they don't have medicine, they don't have food, and the Red Cross said, kicked them out of a room with free food. Ain't that some stuff?
It's awful. It's really awful. I mean, there are a lot of people, I'm not going to say which elected official said this, but when we were at some Medicaid meeting last week, I said, okay, I'm going to have to do a call to action, find housing, do all this other kind of stuff. And one of the elected people from St. Louis said, we can't house our own people. You know, that's true. We have a problem here in St. Louis, but this is a national catastrophe, and you can't be selfish.
And here's the other piece of it, Maria, and we have to take a break after this, but the other piece of this is that, okay, we do have a housing, we have a homeless problem. I did a blanket drive last year, gave away 1,000 blankets. The homeless problem here is just indescribable. So why not, as a political person, a strategic political elected official, why not say, you know what, I'm going to seize this opportunity to not only provide things for my people that I have here, but to provide things for people that are coming here from New Orleans and the Gulf Coast.
Well, it's a shame they have to think that way, because we should just automatically want to do those things.
Absolutely.
And, I mean, it should be automatic. You shouldn't have to think twice or what you can gain from it. You know, elected or unelected, I was going to do something like this anyway. It's the right thing to do. It is the right thing to do. And I tell people, I don't care. Unelect me, whatever. I'm going to look out for my sisters and brothers. And that's just it.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Look out for my sisters and brothers and do the doggone right thing. And we're we have to take a break. We'll be coming back. And I know that y'all want to talk some more. Ms. Shalita, I know you want to talk. We're going to take a break. But hold that thought. Hold that thought. And we'll come back with a break. This is From the Break. This is Liz Brown. Stay with me.
And so many of the people in the arenas here, you know, were underprivileged anyway. This is working very well for them.
Experience the gravity-defying feats and thrilling performance of the new Shanghai Circus in Branson, Missouri. Featuring spectacular costuming, beautiful production, and dramatic interpretation of classic Chinese dance and physical art. Discover the beauty of China's national treasure, the new Shanghai Circus in Branson, Missouri. Call 417-336-8888. That's 417-336-8888.
New state-of-the-art technology has made it possible to offer copies of programs heard on WGNU to the listening audience at a lower cost. If there is a specific program you are interested in having for your personal library, we can now make it available to you at a cost of $25 per hour. Please make a check or money order payable to WGNU Radio, 265 Union, St. Louis, 63108. Please specify the time, day, and particular topic, and allow 10 days delivery. All program recordings are subject to availability.
Violet rays, the sun sends to Earth every single day. This is the retina in your eyes being damaged by those high energy rays. This is UV rated sunglasses protecting your eyes from those rays. And this is how absolutely cool you look in those sunglasses.
And this is a message about safety from the American Optometric Association.
Why do you listen to WGNU? Hi, I'm Charles Gehr, Program Director of Radio Free St. Louis, and your answer could make you a winner. Tell us why in a postcard or email of 100 words or less. We'll draw one entry each Monday through Friday during September as part of today's Solutions with Dave Lenahan. You could win some cool stuff from your friends at AM 920, and we all win because your comments will help make Radio Free St. Louis even better. Send a postcard to Why Do You Listen, WGNU 265 Union Boulevard, St. Louis, Missouri 63108, or email me at cgeer@wgnu.net. Include Why Do You Listen in your subject line. Drawings begin Thursday, September 1st and Friday, September 30th. One entry per address, one prize per family, please. WGNU employees, sponsors, and affiliates, including immediate families, are not eligible. No substitution of prizes. All decisions are final. Tell us why you listen, and thanks for listening to Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU, and online at WGNU.net.
It's the information you need to know about but can't find anywhere else on the dial. The award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Of the Calvary. The Calvary's still not here yet, but I've begun to hear the hoofs, and we're almost a week out. Let me give you just three quick examples. We had Walmart deliver three trucks of water, trailer trucks of water. FEMA turned them back. They said we didn't need them. This was a week ago. FEMA, we had 1,000 gallons of diesel fuel on a Coast Guard vessel docked in my parish. The Coast Guard said, come get the fuel right away. When we got there with our trucks, they got a word. FEMA says, don't give you the fuel. Yesterday, FEMA comes in and cuts all of our emergency communication lines. They cut them without notice. Our sheriff, Harry Lee, goes back in. He reconnects the line. He posts armed guards on our line and says, no one's getting near these lines. Sheriff Harry Lee said that if America would have, American government would have responded like Walmart has responded, we wouldn't be in this crisis. But I want to thank Governor Blanco for all she's done and all her leadership. She sent in the National Guard. I just repaired a breach on my side of the 17th Street Canal that the Secretary didn't foresee, a 300-foot breach. I just completed it yesterday with convoys of National Guard and local parish workers and levee board people. It took us 2.5 days working 24/7. I just closed it. I'm telling you, most importantly, I want to thank my public employees that have worked 24/7, that burn out, the doctors, the nurses. And I want to give you one last story, and I'll shut up and let you tell me whatever you want to tell me. The guy who runs this building I'm in, emergency management, he's responsible for everything. His mother was trapped in St. Bernard Nursing Home, and every day she called him and said, "Are you coming, son? Is somebody coming?" And she said, "Yeah, Mama, somebody's coming to get you. Somebody's coming to get you on Tuesday. Somebody's coming to get you on Wednesday. Somebody's coming to get you on Thursday. Somebody's coming to get you on Friday." And she drowned Friday night. She drowned Friday night.
Mr. President,
nobody's coming to get us. Nobody's coming to get us. The Secretary has promised. Everybody's promised. They've had press conferences. I'm sick of the press conferences. For God's sakes, shut up and send us somebody.
And that's the experience that folks had then, and that's the experience that that folks are having now. Shalita, you wanted to say something.
And that brings me back, Liz, to that person that made that ridiculous statement about why New Orleans, why are everyone is concerned about New Orleans. Mississippi didn't get that many feet of water that New Orleans got. Mississippi didn't get the total number of deaths that New Orleans got. Mississippi didn't get, Alabama didn't get those days that my 14-year-old nephew had to go 4 days without eating, without drinking, anything.
In 100-degree weather.
In 100-degree weather, on top of a bridge. Mississippi and Alabama didn't get those things, and New Orleans did. We are here today crying out for help, and we are independent families in New Orleans. We had our own jobs. We had our own houses. We had our own cars. Now, all we have is people in St. Louis to rely on, such as Maria Chappelle, Pastor Petty, and the community that helps us. Because we also have some people, Schnucks Grocery Store, that we have went into, that charges us tax on the cards that people donate to us. Or we have the cashiers that tell us what we should have done before we get rung up.
What do they tell you that you should have done?
Well, I had an experience where I was getting rung up, and my total amount came over the gift card that was donated to me. So I used the Red Cross card, and the cashier there, she told me, "Well, you should have told me you was going to use that card." And I explained to her, "Ma'am, if I would have known my total was going to be more than what this card was, I wouldn't have used this card. I would have told you I was going to use that card." We are here not to give anyone any trouble, any problems, because we need all the help that we can receive from this community.
And Maria, the community in U City has really reached out. A lot of people have really reached out.
Oh, heck yes. Oh, absolutely. I had to bring in a volunteer just to answer my phone. I was at the, I could hardly leave my house, literally, because people were responding. And I couldn't go see the family because I was always responding to my constituents and people in the greater St. Louis area, which is a great thing. So there's an outpour of support, and people felt it. What some of these organizations don't understand is that you can watch on TV all this stuff, but it's nothing like having a family, a group of people in your midst that you can actually touch and say, "Hey, I feel for you." I was at Breadco the other day in the Loop, and I saw this license that said Louisiana, And I was hesitant to go up to the person not knowing them. And I said, let me go ahead and go. I didn't know this woman at all or her husband. And I said, thank you for being here. I gave them a big old hug. They both started crying. And I just said, listen, I am your sister. We are family. Whatever it is that you need, you just let me know, because I am here for you. This community is here for you. And so it doesn't matter if you're from Louisiana, if you're from Mississippi or wherever. This, we need to be a family. We are all American people.
And Maria, we do. We have some of those things here. We have one lady, she blew me down. We was in two different vehicles, and the first vehicle had a St. Louis license plate, and that was my cousin showing us a way to try to help us get some assistance. And she saw me and my mom's truck with a Louisiana license plate, and she blew us down for maybe three red lights before we really stopped and got in touch with her, where she can offer us breakfast at Jack in a Box. She didn't care what was the cost, how many people it was. She just wanted to treat us to breakfast, and she helped us. She gave us numbers where we can get in contact with some people. She did those things.
And that's wonderful, and Maria, it's wonderful to see individuals reaching out and feeling it in their hearts and trying to make a change. But the bottom line is like Sherita said, United Way took money out of my check every month.
Yes.
The government takes money out of our checks every month. It is the government's responsibility and obligation to tend to their citizens in their greatest hour of need.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, it just boggles my mind how we can react to the tsunami within 24 hours, but we can't even reach our own people within 4 days. That's ridiculous.
And this is a tsunami.
Yes. Actually, a 14-year-old said to me, he said, Liz, I can't say this at school because I think I would get in trouble. I can't say that at school because I think that I can get in trouble, but I think this is worse than 9/11. He said, I think this is worse than 9/11, but I'm hesitant to say it at school because people get mad at you when you say that, but this is worse than 9/11, isn't it?
I think so. I really think so.
Because the bottom line is that the people that died in 9/11 are no longer with us. We have the Walking Dead right now out of Katrina and the Gulf Coast. We have people that are still alive with nothing.
With nothing. And it's a shame where you go to Red Cross and they give you these cards. And if you don't have
an
identification card or something with your name on it, you running for your life from New Orleans. So you thinking, if I can't get it, so be it. I have to
save my life.
Save my life. And if you don't have identification, they won't even activate the cards. So it's like you still have nothing from Red Cross.
We're going to take a break, folks, and I promise you I'll get to the lines at 454-0400, 1-877-920-WGNU. I'm Liz Brown. This is The Wake-Up Call. We have about 15 more minutes left here on the show this morning. And please give out the number one more time.
The number that we can be reached at is area code 314-256-1085. Again, that number is area code 314-256-1085. 1085.
Has Mike Brown resigned?
I'm sorry?
Has Mike Brown resigned?
No.
Has the president asked for his resignation today?
No.
Does the president have full faith and confidence in Mike Brown?
Yeah, again, what we are continuing to do is to support those all in the region who are carrying out the operational activities. We continue to appreciate the work of all those who have been working around the clock. As I just mentioned, I think what you need to do is look at the overall situation. There are phases to this response effort, and Secretary Chertoff has continued to visit the region, continued to assess things, the President has continued to assess things, and Secretary Chertoff is the one who is overseeing all the operational aspects, and so he's the one who's making all the decisions about how to allocate resources and allocate people.
This is your wake-up call, Global News Update. Dateline New Orleans. Many of the major insurance companies are already trying to get out of paying claims because of the damage from Hurricane Katrina. The latest story is that over half the properties in New Orleans are insured for hurricane damage only. But the carriers are claiming that it was a flood that forced the evacuation of the city. If courts agree with that position, the insurance industry could save at least $10 billion, even while leaving over a million people completely destitute. Most household insurance policies do not cover flood damage and require homeowners to buy a second policy through the National Flood Insurance Program, which is part of FEMA. Current figures indicate that less than half of New Orleans residents had bought that second plan. And Dateline Washington. The Wall Street Journal last week reported that the military is planning to take advantage of the disaster created by Hurricane Katrina. Because the troops are stretched so thin due to deployment in Iraq and Afghanistan, Army recruiters are now volunteering to help out at the Astrodome, where some 12,000 evacuees have received temporary shelter. But the recruiters are said to be presenting the displaced residents with opportunities for employment, meaning sign up for the Army. A spokesman for the military says the intent is to approach the people at the right time to proposition them for military service. This is your wake-up call, Global News Update.
My name is Craig Skubik. I'm the host of The Adjustment Zone every Saturday from 3 to 4 p.m. Along with my co-host, Dr. Shane May, we provide an insight to the advantages and benefits of chiropractic care by answering your questions and listening to your comments. We also take your email. We cover everything from improving your overall health to the science behind it. That's The Adjustment Zone. With me, Craig Skubik, and Dr. Shane May, every Saturday afternoon at 3, only on Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU.
And what does the Lord require of you but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God? The Old Testament prophet Micah asked that question of his people thousands of years ago. Since 1994, that question has been one of the bedrock values of Hope for the Nations. In 20 countries around the world, Hope for the Nations turns today's orphans into tomorrow's leaders, provides security so children can become confident young people, actively trains them to become productive leaders in their society, and helps their communities to become self-sufficient. Learn more about Hope for the Nations and how you can become part of their worldwide ministry. Go online at www.hopeforthenations.com. That's www.hopeforthenations.com. Hope for the Nations, turning today's orphans into tomorrow's leaders since 1994. What is the Lord requiring of you?
North Kings Highway, 382-2568, 382-2568. Any and all electrical installation and rehab, basic service installation, light fixtures, dusk to dawn lighting, motion sensors, no job is too big, no job is too small. 35 years of experience. Akbar Electric. Give them a call, 382-2568.
This is Jim Curran, Curran Events. We're on every Monday nights now from 8 to 10 p.m. On Curran Events, we let both sides of an issue be heard. That way we can learn from each other. That's Monday nights, 8 to 10 p.m., Jim Curran, Curran Events, right here on WGNU.
Richard Nixon.
But he actually did a great job in comparison to what's going on now. Because when Richard Nixon was president, there were National Guardsmen everywhere, keeping the people safe.
Welcome back. Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown. I'm back from vacation. We're talking about Katrina and its aftermath with a family that had to flee, an evacuee from the city of New Orleans, from the state of Louisiana, from the Gulf Coast region. I'm Liz Brown. Also on the line with me is Maria Chappelle Nadal, state representative. She has opened her arms and her community has opened their arms to assist this family of 40 folks. Who are here in St. Louis for how long, we don't know. We just don't know. 454-0400 is my phone number. Get to me. Let me get to some of you callers that have been so patiently and so patient to wait on the lines. Good morning. You're on the wake-up call. Good morning. Good morning. You're on the wake-up call. Good morning. Hold on for 1 second. Good morning. You're on the wake-up call. Good morning. Good morning. You're on the wake-up call.
Can you hear me?
I sure can. Yes.
Oh, okay. So we personally wanted to get involved in this enterprise, so we went and researched the people that showed up here.
Start at the beginning, because we missed the first part of that, so start at the beginning.
We wanted to get involved, my mom and I, to see where our money was going. I used to work for FEMA in Texas, and I can tell you personally, when they get down, they do get down. It's just that the people have to wait, and it's a double whammy. But anyway, the people that flew in, they put some of them in gumbo. And so my mom and I went over to the Mental Health Institute and picked up my sister, who's a mental health therapist in Belleville, and went over in Alton the last 2 days to families and bring them into St. Louis, take them to church, take them to eat. Everywhere we went, to BP gas station, they gave us free gas.
Mm.
If we went to Kmart, they gave my mom 10% off because she's buying her kids' grandkids' clothes. And what I want to say is this. I see the organization, and they had $350 cash. And if a person doesn't have ID, well, somebody can take them to the Department of Motor Vehicle, and as long as they had it sometime, they could look it up. You know, it's real easy. But I can tell you, working for FEMA, I was at a hotel at a night auditor in Tyler, Texas one night, and they had a terrific storm that hit five counties, tornadoes. And FEMA came in with... and opened up an old courthouse downtown, opened it up within 2 hours, electric, gas.
What year was this?
This was 88.
There you go. There's a difference.
Why?
There's a difference because we have an administration that has decided to put FEMA under Homeland Security. Homeland Security is making the calls now of when and what FEMA is going to do. There is so much bureaucracy and people that when you have the person in charge of FEMA who used to run Arabian horses and was only got the job because he got a hookup with a college friend of his who has a connection with George Bush, that's why we're seeing what we're seeing.
Yes, ma'am, but I just wanted to say, if people want to get involved, they got a group of them over there in the Mental Health Institute in Alton off of Washington and College.
Give out the number. Do you have a number?
Pardon me?
Do you have a number?
I have it at home. I'm doing Meals on Wheels right now.
Call me back. Call me back, and I'll get the number out.
Yes, ma'am. Yeah, there's plenty of... people there. And
I got to go. I got to go. But
thank you
so much for that information, and we will get that information from you. 454-0400. I got to get to some more of the callers here. Let me get to you. You're on the wake-up call. Good morning.
Good morning.
Yes.
I'm calling Liz. Good morning, Ms. Brown.
Good morning.
I heard over the television last week, and that United Way, I was listening. They were saying United Way was going to fund with their monies, their first monies, their locations. They were going to set back up their locations, and then they were going to give to the victims.
Okay.
You know, but then I didn't get to listen to the rest of them.
Well,
they
thanks
broke
for that.
It down.
Thanks for that. Thanks for that information, and Maria, this is again the concern that we've been talking about.
That's exactly right.
And look, did you want to say something? Go right ahead. Oh, that's okay. Okay, 454-0400 is my phone number. Get to me. You're on the wake-up call. Good morning.
Good morning.
Yes.
This is Councilman Hazel Irby from St. Louis County.
Yes.
I'm calling. I heard a concern about the facility out there that used to be Gumbo,
mm-hmm.
where we're planning to house some of the evacuees when they come to town.
Mm-hmm.
The concern, I guess, is what a lot of people, I received a lot of phone calls when that facility was first opened. The news media showed the condition that the jail was in. I went out and made a tour of that facility, and I would encourage anyone who feels have a concern about that to please go out and take a look at it. I went out yesterday, and it's not home. I understand that, but it looked wonderful. They have bunk beds. They have.
But you understand the observation of the way that
mm-hmm.
Missouri is responding. That we have a governor that is saying pitch some tents out in the woods and we'll give you 2 weeks free tent time, and then a former prison facility being open for people. That's problematic. And also Gumbo is pretty isolated. You got to drive a long way to get out to Gumbo and to get to things. Come back to the city.
Well, see, that's why people need to go out there. It's no longer isolated. There's a beautiful community out there. There's shopping centers. There's a big mall at Boone's Crossing. It's just up the street from there. They've set up a patio, recreational facility, a big playground for the children. You know, next to home, home, of course, is the best place, but it was just beautiful. I couldn't believe how it looked. It did not have the cots that we witness on TV in the civic centers. It had bunk beds, and it's a community type thing.
And I would like to talk to you more about it, but I only have 30 seconds, so thank you very much for that. And I want to thank you, Representative Maria Chappelle Nadal. Thank you so much for what you're doing. And will you keep us apprised, please?
Absolutely, Liz. Absolutely.
And I want to thank you all for joining us. And again, give us your number. Yes.
And the number we can be reached at is area code 314-256-1085. And I also would like to say we are looking for the rest of our family members, Miss Annie Otis, and also we have some medical concerns where we have people here that need medication, that receive free Medicaid through Charity Hospital down in New Orleans. And now that we're here in St. Louis, they can't even get their medication.
So y'all need money for medicine as well.
Yes, and Red Cross didn't give us anything for medication.
Well, we have a lot to do.
Any family members... We are in St. Louis. The Woolridge family are in St. Louis, and we are living at 1077 Midland.